Talk Radio.
Thank you very much indeed, George Galloway. As always, it is a pleasure to be on the show, my show, The Late Night Alternative, with me, Ian Lee. We're coming live from some bloke's house. I don't really know where we are. It's certainly not Newcastle, like he told us it was. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good evening, dear listener. Thank you very much indeed, George. We are coming live, well, not from Newcastle, as we were led to believe, Catherine. Sorry?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just checking, Josh, everyone can hear us, because it's very quiet here, but as long as people can hear us, that's beautiful. That's fine. We've been to Newcastle for all of 2 hours.
Yeah.
It took, I don't use this term loosely, it took bloody hours. I left my house at 11:30 this morning, and we got to Newcastle at about 6:15 this evening. It was what can only be described as a very long car journey.
What made it seem longer for me was the fact that you had forbidden me to speak.
Yes. Let's get rid of that music, Josh. I think 5 minutes of background music is more than enough to set the scene. That basically we're very tired.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very grumpy. But we'll put the grumpiness to one side because we are coming live from Simon's house.
Hello there.
Hi, Simon.
How are you doing?
I didn't give you permission to speak there.
I do apologise about that. But I just jumped in.
We are in your house. You jump in whenever you want. Thank you very much for inviting us.
More than welcome.
Where are we?
So we're in a lovely little town called Morpeth.
Okay.
Which, as you correctly pointed out,
yes,
isn't quite Newcastle.
No.
It's about 15 miles from Newcastle.
Yeah. It's nice. I've been to Newcastle for 27 years, so it's not really changed a lot. But the drive out from there to here, it's about 25 minutes, half an hour drive. Yeah. It's delightful.
Very, very scenic.
It's very nice. I'm guessing this is an historic town. Why don't you
Extremely.
Give us some historical facts about Morpeth?
Oh, putting me on the spot.
You can make them up if you don't.
Well, I will. There's a historic Morrison's here. It's been here, it's actually moved buildings.
Historic Morrissey, yes.
There's a lovely river, and there's a Carlisle Park, which is a massive park in this actual centre of town, pretty much.
What's Morpeth Court? Because that looks like a castle.
Morpeth Court, that's actually, I believe it used to be a courthouse. Oh. There is a castle here.
No, that was the dumbest
question.
To be honest, I'm only
castle.
Putting two and two together because it's called court. I believe it was a courthouse.
Oh, he's making it up.
You said to make it up.
He's a bullshine artist, this guy. He told us he was in Newcastle.
Nah.
There is a castle somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere, yes. Allegedly.
Yes.
No, it's up by Carlisle Park, up on a few. You go up some stairs, and it's a very tiresome walk up there.
While we are here, there are two ways you can call us, guys, right? 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to call us. If you know Simon's number and you call on that, we'll talk to you on that. You jump the queue. Right now, though,
this is going to be red hot all night.
The only caller we've got is you introduce him. You know who the first caller is.
Is it Mr. Caddick?
Hip, hip, hip!
Hip, hip, hip!
You deal with him, Simon.
Hello, Alan. How are you doing?
I know, man. Can I say...
I know we shouldn't be asking that. I heard the yesterday show.
Yes.
What was that, Alan? I didn't hear that.
I'm watching the Periscope. It's the first time I've seen Cat.
Oh, hi, Alan. Can you see my fat belly?
You see my fat belly?
Yeah, and I can see my...
Oh, wait. Can you see what it says? Alan, can you read what it says on my top?
She's turned the vegans against us.
Something like that. It's a Daft Limmy quote.
Yes.
Daft Limmy. You know Daft Limmy.
What are you up to this evening,
Well, I've just been watching The Crystal Maze.
Hey, we're watching The Crystal Maze now. Is this on the
This is actually not live.
You take this. Okay, yeah, we're watching The Crystal Maze. And it's got Citizen Khan on it.
And Rylan.
And Rylan and some other celebrities that I don't know who they
are. It doesn't matter, though, does it?
It doesn't really matter these days. Who's is that you ringing, Alan?
It's not my phone.
No, my mum's ringing on Facebook Messenger, but I've come downstairs.
Your mum's on Facebook Messenger. What, is she trying to get a replacement for your dad?
No, 20
that's the only reason.
Down.
That's the only reason people use Facebook Messenger is for a little bit of swiping. Is your mum swiping?
No, she's ringing.
Oh,
she's ringing.
Well, take the call from her. Don't you can't hang up.
No,
with your mum.
I've gone into the kitchen. I should probably tell me to take the note down.
Here's a lesson, Simon. There's no point in actually talking to Alan because he doesn't hear a word.
I was just saying, can he just patch into his mum as well?
Have you ever been to Newcastle, Alan?
My dad's family's from Newcastle.
Oh, well, you can tell us where to go tomorrow then.
Well, I don't really know that much because my nan died before I was born.
Ah, that would
have been. From Newcastle.
Alan, you have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much indeed.
Bye, Alan.
Ta-ta. Let's go to Andy on line two. Good evening, Andy.
Good evening, Ian.
Is this Andy from Morpeth?
Yes.
Ah.
We're around the corner from you.
Yeah, he's in Kirkhill, I believe.
Yeah, Kirkhill, about half a mile away.
Right, well, we'll drive past your house later on tonight and beep our horn. How's about them apples, Andy?
Well, if you bring some kind of lorry, that'll be fine.
There we go, you see. Can you give us some history of Morpeth? Here's the thing, right, that I really got when we were in New York, and I'm kind of aware of it more and more, is just how London-centric everything is. Everything in the media is London-centric. And I think the BBC sending people to Salford was, I think it was a bold move, but I think it was misplaced. I don't think it solves the problem because all they do is the big names still present their shows in London, and the guests get flown up to Manchester or trained up first class, do the show, then come back.
Also, transporting load of Southerners to a different building
makes
no difference at all to the output.
Everyone moved. They were given grants to move. So I think it was a good idea. I just think it was stupid.
So what you're saying is they should have put it in Newcastle.
They should have hired local people as well and had some local more local voices on there.
Yeah. But and also, you know, talk radio is in London. I'm aware of that. But we are a national radio station. Unless you're on the M4 corridor, then of course you can't pick us up. But
you can't pick you up here, I'm afraid.
We picked us up. I could hear George as we were driving in, and then it got a bit patchy.
So I listen on the internet and see the internet.
And that's the thing. But I think we need to make Catherine. You and I need to make more of an effort. You need to make more of an effort in your appearance, but we need to make more of an effort to make the show less London-centric. We need to get out more. But here's the thing. Driving to Newcastle was the stupidest idea I have ever had. I thought it was like 3 hours. It was about 6.5 hours. There's a sign. We're a 90-minute drive away from Edinburgh.
Yep.
Bloody, we're 90 minutes away from Edinburgh.
Told you it was near to Scotland. You wouldn't have it.
It doesn't help when half the road, like half the M1's, like under roadworks. Yeah, so, you know, 50 miles an hour.
But this is my pledge to thee, Andy. I am going to make this show less London-centric. How's about that?
So how long did it take you to get past the metro centre?
That's the question I asked.
I don't know what that means. Is that a joke? Is that a joke?
The
metro
centre? It's a very well-known congested area, especially on a Friday. When you were driving past the Angel of the North, did you see the Angel of the North?
We saw the Angel of the North.
Further north.
A rusty statue.
Yep. Further north than that, so you go around the bend.
Yes. You
know. Generally, was it busy there? Or?
Do you know what? I'd switched.
It was all busy.
It was all busy.
It was just one big busy.
Yeah.
I'd switched off my mind at that
point. The normal thing for
and
this.
Was on autopilot. Andy, did you give us some history of Morpeth?
No.
Well, thanks very much for calling. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Now, by the way, if you want to know what Simon looks like, or more importantly, what Simon's house looks like, if you go to periscope.com/IanLee, we are streaming live video. And if you can see, he's got a great view of New York.
Yeah.
You see?
It's live, coming in live now from satellite.
Live. How do I know that man on that advert?
Oh, no.
I know him. What do I know him from?
He does have that recognisable face, doesn't he?
He does. I recognise him from something. I think his name might be Chris or Dan. Anyway, so we're going to be here doing the show as per usual. You are welcome to call in about any old nonsense. Haven't looked at the papers. I don't know what's going on. The only bit of news I know is that Trump is pretending he's never met Putin before. This is the first time they've met.
Yeah.
And he said, did you interfere with the election? No. Okay, I take you at your word.
That's that sorted.
That's that sorted.
They're pretending they've not been sexting each other for the past 6 months.
And France has banned petrol and diesel cars. That's that's Lausanne.
It's not until like 2040 or something.
Oh, I'll be dead by then.
The world may not be in existence by that point.
No,
so, you know,
exactly.
France. Don't have to worry about it. So
France
so
will be long gone by then. So that's all I know. You're more than welcome to call in, though, dear listener. 0344 499 1000. Here is your cue. Get your finger hovering over that button, Josh, in the studio, because this is the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee. Catherine is here.
Boom.
We're in Simon's house here.
Hello.
And we are Barry.
Hey, Ian. Nice to talk to you. And,
it must be.
Yeah. Best wishes to Simon.
Hello, Barry.
This evening.
He's, been very kind, Barry, in letting
us
use his house. Although, here's the thing. We're in quite a narrow street.
Yeah.
And the kids in the house...
Is that you who ran over the football earlier?
Yes, I ran I ran...
I saw that from the window.
I ran over their football. And I was trying to park in a very, very tight space. And if they hadn't been watching me, I could have done it. But I could hear their ball being dragged around under my car.
I seen the ball go under.
Yeah, it was me.
And then you were kind of going back and forward.
Yeah, it was me.
Reversing in, and then he kind of gave up, and it went away in the end. No, I was sort of wondering if that was you,
me.
Actually.
That was me. I caused anarchy,
and I think you were getting filmed by them all over there, and it was all a huge laugh. They took it in good spirits.
They took it in good.
It was one of those balls that don't pop easily.
They took it in good stead, Barry. What can we do for you this evening, Barry?
Yeah, I've just got a couple of points for you, but can I say first of all to Simon, during the 60s I moved to a new colliery in Staffordshire. A lot of lads from the north, Geordie lads as we call them, came down, and you couldn't wish to meet better guys to work with. I'll just say that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, really nice lads. Right, okay then, Ian.
Who are these lads that you work with?
Did they ever go to the Ashington collieries by any chance?
Yeah, a lot would come down from Ashington and various collieries.
Ellington? Well, these are all places. You know these places in?
I can't remember that
Ellington,
one.
Ashington?
I got to know a lot of them, Simon. It was a big mining estate that was built.
I get a feeling that this is perhaps even too niche for the nichest show.
I don't really know what he's going on about.
On radio. So let's move
nice
on, Barry.
Anyway, let's carry on then, Ian. First of all, last night, mate, the first half hour was absolutely cracking.
Oh, we won an award for... Oh! Flipping it! For those who missed it, the first half hour last night was a tribute to... It was the 60th anniversary of Paul McCartney meeting John Lennon, and we did a Beatles medley. It took months and months of writing and planning and rehearsing, and everyone played their part well. We won an award for that today. We won a Sony
Excellent.
Award.
Well deserved.
And fair shout to you and Alan and Catherine, and
Thanks.
It was a real old knees up, mate. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Well, I mean, there's not many people doing radio flash mobs. I think we may be the first.
Yeah, we won a Sony Award as a result of that, so thank you to everyone who voted for us.
And how much practice did Caddick put into that? Because I thought he was on spot. He was on point.
Absolute months of rehearsal for that. And, you know, all of these shows are scripted and written weeks and months in advance, just like this conversation we're having now, just like this bit of the conversation. It sounds spontaneous, it's rehearsed, and when I stop speaking, Barry will pick up.
Fine. What I wanted to tell you was a little conversation today. A young guy in Wilkinson's, I guess it would come under the category of attacks by unusual animals. And the young man was telling me about 10:30 last night. He was walking in a built-up area here in Western.
Yes.
And a badger didn't just go for his legs and calves, jumped onto his shoulder.
Went for his cock and balls.
I've no idea, but he went onto his shoulder and the guy up to...
Hang on a minute. Was he lying down?
No, he was.
How did a badger get up to a man's shoulder, Barry?
Well, I've no reason to disbelieve this. He's a very nice young man, and I said, "What did
you do?"
He said, "I reacted. I punched it.
What?
I legged it."
So the bloke in Wilkinson's told you that a badger jumped on his shoulder, and in retaliation, he decked it and legged it.
Exactly.
And you believe that?
I did believe him, yes, because I know the guy quite well, and he's a decent young man.
Thanks very much for calling, Barry. Let's go to Chris, who's in Dundee. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Do you believe that story? Here's tonight's phone-in. Do you believe the story that that bloke from Wilkinson's told Barry? 0344 499 1000. I'll do that as a Twitter poll as well. There we go. What you got for us, Chris?
Well, I've never seen a badger ever, ever, ever. I used to live in France, and it was a big debate between us, did badgers exist or not?
I've never seen a live badger. I've seen, obviously, the corpses of badgers, but then they could just be made out of an old cushion.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure badgers don't exist.
They definitely do, because there was a crushed one on the A19.
No.
But
it's the same crushed badger. Really? I've only seen a dead one.
They could make it out. Could make it out of just a bit of sack and paint it. This is really interesting, Chris. I think I'm being red pilled. Yeah, I don't believe in badgers either.
Have you seen one ever?
No, never. I've never seen a badger.
Dead or alive?
I've seen a dead one. Is he listening to me? Can Chris hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, because you're asking questions to which I've already given you the answer. Anyway, Chris, what you got for us now, apart from badgers?
I was just wanting to bring the show down a wee bit.
Oh. I think I'm doing a good enough job at that, but okay.
To what it used to be, whenever you had no listeners, about feeling ill and...
Yeah, of course. Well, we had no listeners. His observation is correct. I'll give him that. Go on, Chris.
Can I talk about this, or should I just leave?
No, of course you can. Hey, listen, here's the thing, right? This is a show where people can talk about absolutely anything, and I do think that maybe there was a period where we maybe wallowed in the misery a little bit too much, and there would be like weeks where all the shows were just me saying I wanted to kill myself and blah, 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 right, and listeners voted by switching off in their droves. That's fine, and we've gone back, and I was arguing with someone on a forum the other day saying the fun is back, the giggle factory is open, but. If people want to share their stories of struggling with everyday life, then they are more than welcome to. And I still do as well. You know, I talked the other day about it. So, no, Chris, please, you go ahead, man.
Well, this isn't my actual point, but does the Giggle Factory stress you out?
Does the Giggle Factory stress me out? That is an excellent question.
It doesn't seem like the real what you're feeling right now.
Does it stress me out? Yes, it does. Right now, this is what I'm feeling. There have been times in the past, sort of 2 months that we've been doing this style of show, that I have been faking it a bit, partly to see if I could fake it. And then there were a couple of days this week when I did, you know, I wanted to jump off a bridge. And the shows, I think, sort of Tuesday and Wednesday, kind of reflected that in that they were a little bit more sombre and a bit softer.
Well, I got into you because I listened to Barry from Watford, and I got through to you from there and listened ever since. But I just thought, recently, it has sounded a wee bit...
Oh, God. Hang on a minute. Here's a head flip. Don't tell me you're going to stop listening because it's got too much fun now. Oh, we're going to... I'm never going to get the balance right. And that's going to send me into a spiral of depression.
It's fun, but I just miss sometimes when... a lot of your listeners probably do contact with you through mental illness, I suppose it is.
Well, we had about 40... Here's the interesting thing, right? And you can't please all of the people all the time, and I know that, and sometimes I try and chase that a bit. When we were doing all the shows were a bit down.
Yeah.
We you know, some shows we registered zero listeners. That was kind of depressing for me. So I had a rethink. And then I think it was... maybe Monday or Tuesday this week, and we did talk about feeling down, and we had about 45 minutes of calls, including, I can't remember the names, but a call from a young lady and a call from a young guy, and someone posted on Twitter, someone posted on Digital Spy, I haven't listened for ages because it got miserable, then I turn in again and I hear he's still doing miserable radio, and I had to go, no. For the last 2-3 months, we've been doing fun stuff. That was just 45 minutes of... So, we can't please everybody all the time. Here's the thing, right? When I'm feeling as crap as I felt this week, I'm going to come on and say I'm feeling crap. I hope... I mean, goddammit, I opened nearly every show last week by saying, hey everyone, I hate myself. How are you doing? You know, so I don't know how more blatant I can be that I hate myself and I'm depressed, but I can also have a laugh. Does that make sense? Now it sounds like I'm being aggressive and I'm not.
I emailed you during the week about listening to your favourite album and singing your favourite album and seeing if that cheers you up. But today, that hasn't cheered me up.
What's going on for you, man? Why are you so... has anything happened or is it just a chemical imbalance?
No, it's just... everyone asks, what's happening? What's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. Nothing's happened. Nothing's wrong. I just don't feel right.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Sucks, doesn't it?
So what do you do? And actually, I was at an optician yesterday, and she asked, what are your hobbies, what are your pastimes, what do you do in your spare time? And I said, well, I don't know. I try not to kill myself.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, man. What are your hobbies? I try not to kill myself. And I get it. I get it. There's, do you know what? Today has been distracted by me driving a stupid distance and by coming to some bloke's house who's kindly invited. You know, so Hello. Today is one of those days where, you know, nothing is real and all of that. But then Sunday night, Monday morning, I go back to reality, you know, after we do the rabbit hole and, it sucks. But don't feel that you can't call in, even if we're phoning, you know, even if we're doing a show where we're talking about... aren't balloons fun? You can still call in and...
Which they are, by the way.
Which they are lot of fun.
There's that big
you
thing over
there.
You
can still call in and say, you know, life sucks, man, and it hurts.
What was that, balloons fun?
Balloons, tell you what's the most fun about balloons is when you you do that trick where you put a pin in it and it doesn't burst.
Oh, can you do that?
Yeah.
I might have some balloons
get
in the drawer.
Get some balloons and get me a pin.
I'll have a look.
And get me some sellotape. Get me some sellotape, and I'll do it for you. Well, listen, Chris, thank you for that. Hang in there, man.
Sorry to bring the mood down. I just wanted to...
No, here's the thing. You haven't brought the mood down at all. And this is another thing. Talking about, you know, wanting to kill yourself and stuff, it ain't bringing the mood down. It's honest, and I am a big fan of honesty, and I appreciate your honesty. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing before I go off?
Yeah, go on.
Kath in that denim dress.
Cut him off, he's a pervert. Speaking of perverts, evening, Nigel.
Evening, Ian.
This is Nigel from Maidstone.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I was hoping he was going to call up.
I took an antidepressant this evening and I feel worse. Oh.
You feel worse?
I feel worse with it than what I did last night. Because they make you so tired and drowsy, don't they? Because the idea is for them to relax you.
I thought this conversation with Nigel was going to be a bit more fun.
Well,
I do apologise now. Do you have a song?
I'm going to do Memories. This is a nice song. Memories.
Oh, it's lovely.
Nigel, what's happening? What's happening?
I want to do a song in a minute, but I want to talk about what I've seen today.
What have you seen today, Nigel?
Well, there's a concert in Tunbridge, the town near me. I went to Tunbridge and I met the people setting up for a band called Madness, the famous Madness.
Baggy trousers, etc.
Well, it's not the real Madness band. It's a cover band doing
the fake
doing
Madness.
And I thought it was the real Madness until they said, no, it's not, it's a cover band.
Right.
So I didn't bother staying because they wanted like £30 a ticket.
But sometimes the cover bands are just as good, or if not better, than the originals.
Yeah. Russell Watson is in Tunbridge on Sunday. I'm going in the afternoon.
Is it the real Russell Watson or the fake Russell Watson?
This is the real Russell, the one that sings with Charlotte Church. Sometimes.
I thought Russell Watson was a comedian.
No, he's a singer.
Who's the comedian? The blonde comedian.
Russell Howard.
Howard. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, you're getting them mixed up. But I mean, the singer Russell Watson. Anyway, he's very famous, and it's only £30 for a ticket, which isn't bad.
Well, that sounds like an absolute bargain.
So I'm going on Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
It would be nice, but if it's a nice sunny day, bike ride to there. And hopefully I'll get to meet him, and maybe I can maybe do a song with him or something.
I think the chance of you doing a song with him are really slim.
Is Nigel still in touch with Nigel?
I used to know Charlotte Church, didn't I? I told you, didn't I?
Yes. She sent me what song would you like to sing tonight, Nigel?
I'm going to do Memories, that lovely song by the old Jack singer.
Barbara Streisand.
Yes.
No, the English girl.
Yes.
I can't remember her name offhand, but she was very famous.
Okey-doke.
That begins with G, I think.
Okay. Well, anyway, you sing.
Doesn't matter, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, come to your mind.
Just
to
sing
your
the bloody song, man!
Yeah. Okay, here we go. I'll just press the knob in.
Oh. Pardon?
Here we go.
Jesus.
Memories all alone in the moonlight.
Cut him off. That is, I mean, I've always... Here, two songs I never want to hear again. Memories and Send in the Clowns?
Isn't it really?
Oh, that's bloody awful.
Depressingly
awful,
poor,
awful songs. Yeah. Dear listener, we're going to take a quick break. Then when we get back, you're going to hear our exciting journey from the south to the north. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Thank you very much. When the music starts, just put the microphones on. That's all we need. Thank you very much, dear listener. We are broadcasting from live from just outside Newcastle in Morpeth. We are in Simon's house.
Hello there.
Thank you very much indeed. But let me tell you, you can watch us as well, periscope.com/Ian Lee. But let me tell you, dear listener, it was a longer drive than I expected, and we documented some of it for you. Here is how mine and Catherine's day has panned out so far.
Right. Hold that.
Okay.
I am finding the address for Newcastle. I don't know where was that. Oh. Will you say something while I'm looking?
Well, this is just in case any of you have never used a sat nav before. Ian's just giving you a handy step-by-step guide.
Stop talking for a second, because you're putting me off now. How do I find the address? Right, talk now.
How long for?
Well, just say something.
Because I don't want to start giving out gold if you're going to cut me off in my prime again.
Trust me, Catherine, you won't be giving out gold.
Well, it's a very muggy and sultry day here in mid-Bedfordshire. I'm not going to be any more specific than that because people will turn up.
Number 62.
Shut up.
Station Road.
But I hear that in Newcastle, they are wearing coats. So, I mean, that's unusual. Apparently it's quite... Sombra in Newcastle.
I'm just saying the postcode to myself.
There may even be a light drizzle. So I've got in my bag an emergency frock to put on over the top of what is essentially skimpy play suit.
People aren't interested in
that. No, but this is what I've been thinking about for the past hour because it's baking here and I'm going to be sweating cobs for a good 2 hours before we reach the sort of midway line and suddenly the clouds descend.
I brought a hoodie. 210, 4 hours, 38 minutes driving. Sweet Lord. Bloody hell. Oh, flipping heck. I mean, that is just ridiculous, isn't it?
So, as you can hear, happy, happy, happy on the road trip. Happy.
Right, if you'd be quiet now, because I'm... No, it's okay.
It's the curb. It's fine. Oh, and again.
Still in backwards.
There we go.
Still in backwards. Right. No talking, please, because we should get towards the end of this. Hang on a second. Oh, my radio's not working.
Oh, God, no, really?
This could be awkward. What's going on here? So what's happening here? Hang on. Nope. Stop that, because this is my radio's not working, and I don't want people to know my radio doesn't work in my Ferrari.
Ian does not drive a Ferrari, and his radio is buggered.
Sorry, could you say that again? The line's not very clear.
Can you please confirm if you've had an accident within the last 2 to 3 years that wasn't your fault?
Yes, I have, yes.
Please hold for one moment.
Is that a real person?
Hello?
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 Yes, how are you? Are you fine?
I've just been reminded about my car accident and it's made me sad.
When did you have the accident?
It was at night time.
When did you ever was the date?
It was, yes, I have.
Okay. Did you suffer an injury in that accident?
What?
Did you suffer an injury?
Yes, I did. I suffered a fatal injury.
What is your car number plate in which you had the accident?
What is what?
Car registration number in which you had the accident.
F4C F Foxtrot C4. Well, am I going to get my money or not? Am I going to get my money for my fatal accident or not? This is the most fun journey I've ever had, and we've literally been in the car for 30 seconds.
What's going to happen next? Only time will tell. Right, what's going on?
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Hang on a second, hang on. Hang on, let me, You should have said.
Britain's conversation on.
Nope, hang on.
Nope.
Ian Duncan Smith
nope.
And Ed Miliband.
No.
Cancer, neuroblastoma.
Nope, it's,
Putin and I have been discussing...
Yeah, that sounds like us. Okay, brilliant. Yeah, hi. Well, we have been driving for about 4 hours, only... Who's this bloke? Is this bloke telling us... We're telling us where to go. We've been driving for about 4 hours, only another hour and 40 minutes to go. Jesus, is the most torturous journey ever.
It's been proper long and we've been stuck in traffic behind people.
And you've been getting right on my tits.
And I've not been allowed to speak.
No, and even that has been annoying. You're so annoying. You're the most annoying. The way you've just been breathing in this really annoying manner. So annoying. If I'd have known that, I would not have allowed you. You could have gone in the boot as I'd requested. So annoying.
You see, I just cannot win.
But saying that, we're having a real great time. Here's the thing, right? I didn't know Newcastle was so far away. Had I known it was so far away, I wouldn't have said we'd come to Newcastle.
Well, it's nearly Scotland.
It's nearly Scotland! Bloody hell! Where's my wallet? Oh, don't tell me I've come without my wallet. Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. I knew there was a reason you invited me.
Right, come on. Let's go and have a Jimmy Riddle. You recording?
Yes.
Don't keep doing that while I'm listening to Radio 4. I'm listening...
I used to go on a Saturday morning and go down the...
Oh, talk radio. You do the talking, because I've been driving for 6.5 bloody hours.
Yeah, but you've not allowed me to speak for that entire time, and I think my mouth might have sealed up.
I turned on Twitter when we stopped for Jimmy Riddle, and I was... I'd been trolled. I was being cyberbullied because of a lie that you'd put out fake news, hashtag fake news what? About me.
So you're denying that you banned me from talking?
Just do the talking, because I'm not being funny, Kath. I'm in a really crappy mood because of this drive.
Yeah.
And now you're just getting a microphone and shoving it in my face. You just do the talking about Newcastle.
All right.
What a brilliant place.
Newcastle, we are now in you and driving through it.
But do it properly.
What?
Don't do it like a knob.
I don't think I can win with you today.
No, you can't. Just do it.
I thought this was going to be a fun road trip.
Why are you even... I didn't think it would take 6.5 hours. I've got to find the hotel. Just do it, but don't do it in an annoying manner.
Right. So, we're now in Newcastle, one of the industrial centres of the north. It's looking a little bit overcast here. But kind of beautiful in a slightly Edinburgh-ish way, I would say.
What does it even mean, anything, in a slightly Edinburgh-ish way? What's ridiculous. Look out, Judith Chalmers, Boyle's on the thing.
Okay, well, as you can hear, my companion is delightful, charming...
Out of the way!
And...
Idiot!
Oh, God, and...
Stupid people.
Friendly as ever. So, this is going to be a fun show.
Put that down, because I can't find the bloody hotel.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We have checked into our hotel. Once again, Catherine has a bigger room than me, but do you know what? I'm fine about that, because that's just the kind of guy I am. And we have a couple of hours to kill before we go to Simon's house to do the radio show, so we've stopped off for a traditional Newcastle brown, or it's a curry. So the food is brown in colour. Didn't actually sound a bit racist. Didn't mean it sound racist at all. I mean, the food is... I've got myself in a terrible, terrible heap of mess here. Just to clarify, I am no more racist than any other presenter on... That doesn't help at all, does it?
So we've got... My food's not brown anyway, so, I mean, include me out.
Actually, my food isn't brown either. It's kind of reddy colour. So it does... I have to apologise. That sounded racist, and I certainly didn't mean it to. I was trying to be clever, and I was dumb. But here's the interesting thing. You look as miserable as sin, Catherine Boyle.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, it must have been difficult sleeping in that car.
It was difficult, very cramped.
Yeah, but you slept in the car.
Yeah, but not very well.
I only got 20 minutes, and that was on the M1 when it was going straight. You've slept, mate.
Yeah.
And you're falling asleep in the curry house. I wish I hadn't said that thing earlier on about... I was trying to do... Because they have the famous...
Stop going on about it.
They have the famous drink, the Newcastle brown. People are going to think it was a racial slur. I was trying to say the food was brown. Technically, I did not mean it like that at all. I'm not racist in any level. I met an Indian person.
Stop it. Just stop
okay.
It. Just right, so we're going to eat this delicious food. Doesn't matter where it comes from.
That sounded sarcastic, as though almost as if you're the racist.
No. So we're going to eat this delicious food, and then...
Then we're going to...
I'm going to have a sleep.
No, mate. No. Then we're going to wander around Newcastle and catch some of the ambiance. Mm. And then you're going to edit this package together while I think of wonderful scripts and comedy scenes and characters for tonight's radio
show. You're going to go to sleep, aren't you?
No, mate, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I'm a professional. Do you know? Last night when we did the Beatles sing along, it sounded like a spontaneous bit of fun. Do you know how many months of planning, of writing, of rehearsals with Alan that took? That took 4 months. Mm. That's longer than some West End shows for 25 minutes of radio. Yeah. So no, I will be working hard for tonight's show.
With his eyes closed, on his back.
And just to say, I am definitely not a racist. I'm very excited. That meal was delicious. I think we should now go out on to the streets of Newcastle and see just how far word of talk radio and the late night alternative with Ian Lee has spread. You up for that, Boy Lee? Thank you very much. That was fantastic food. Right. Work. Come on. Let's go. No. Don't. Come on. We're going to go out and just... We're going to do it now. Come on. Come on. Chop, chop. Don't stop it. But if you take it...
I'm not taking it to the toilet with me.
Why not? We want to catch real life, real Newcastle.
That's too real.
Okay. Well, let's get out. Thank you very much. That was delicious. Thank you. Aren't people up north nice? Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Okie dokie, Catherine. I'm going to start outside. Oh. Right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, mate. Cheers. Right, let us see if we can find some likely people who might be fans of talk radio. Let's have a little look. There's some gentlemen over here. Oh, you got run over. Sorry to interrupt you guys. I'm asking about talk radio. Do you listen to talk radio?
I'm afraid I don't. No,
you don't. You've never heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I don't.
Do you know James Whale?
Yes, I've heard of him.
What do you think of James?
Not a lot.
a bit of a tosser.
Yeah.
You're
him,
are you?
No, I'm not James. Now, do you recognise me?
When I have heard him on the radio, I've never thought a lot of him.
No.
So
very old fashioned. Yeah, so do you recognise me though? Because I've been on TV.
No.
The face is familiar, that's all I can say.
Does the name Ian Lee mean anything to you?
No.
Unbelievable. Welcome to Newcastle. Okay, well, maybe those guys weren't our demographic. They were a couple of old men, probably drunk. Well, these people look like a bit more with it. Hey, guys, do you listen to talk radio at all?
I'm in a rush.
Yeah, but do you ever listen to talk radio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favourite presenter on there?
I don't know the name.
Hey, and my name is... Unbelievable. This really is... very, very poor. Here we go. Here come some geezers. Let's go and speak to some geezers. Evening, geezers.
Oh, I recognise you.
Yes, now.
You're off the telly, aren't you?
Yes, go on. Come on, say it. You can say it. Come on. Come on. What do you mean, who is he? Come on. Do you listen to talk radio?
No.
Do you listen to talk radio, guys?
Talk sport, mate. That's what it is.
Talk sport. They're idiots on there. Jeez. I've got a feeling that Newcastle may not be our natural habitat. Here we go. Excuse me, sir. You look like an intelligent gentleman. Are you
walking up the wrong tree there?
Oh, and do you live in Newcastle?
No.
Whereabouts are you from?
Aberdeen.
Oh, Scotland. Oh, no, we broadcast up there. Do you listen to talk radio at all?
Afraid not, mate.
What radio do you listen to?
Hee ho.
What?
No radio.
No? No. Oh, dude, you need to listen to talk radio.
Could do.
You don't fancy it?
No.
What you do? Why are you in Newcastle?
Wee cousin's christening.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Aye, pretty much.
What, is that happening tomorrow?
Sunday, I think.
Sunday? Oh, Sunday, you think.
Yeah, pretty sure.
How are you finding it? I haven't been up to Newcastle for 27 years. I don't know. Oh, you got a phone call?
Yeah. Aye, sorry, mate.
Oh, blimey. That's okay, I fell at the christening. I smelt a lot of alcohol coming off that gentleman's breath there. Hey, Boyley, I got some bad news.
What?
Well, first of all, you've got curry all round your mouth.
Yeah.
Secondly, no one here has heard of talk radio.
You're kidding me?
I met some lads that listen to talk sport,
right.
And I met some blokes that thought that James Whale was a tosser.
Okay, so they have heard of talk radio then?
Well, no.
They've heard of James Whale?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I've got a feeling this is that the talk radio marketing campaign is not working very well.
It's not reached Newcastle. But people here are very nice, and I can give you a symptom and a sign that we're up north.
Symptom, yeah.
I just went to the loo, right?
Yeah.
Lady started talking to me as we walked in.
Yeah.
About you, asking where she knew you from.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's good, yeah.
And continued to talk to me as we both had wees in separate cubicles.
Oh, sweet.
That only happens up north.
Sweet Lord. You still got curry around your mouth. This guy looks like our audience. Good evening, sir. You, how are you?
I'm very well, how about you?
Do you live in Newcastle?
Of course, yes.
Listen, I haven't been to Newcastle for 27 years. Where should I go and what should I see while I'm here?
Right, you are looking, to some nice fun?
I want some nice fun, yeah, nice fun.
Right,
yeah.
She's
a friend, she doesn't need to come.
Right, okay.
Nice
fun. Best place is in the quayside.
Okay, yeah.
Very, very friendly, yep. Everyone.
Yeah.
And level high class in the drink.
High class level drink.
No, anyway, yeah. Okay. Very high class. Another way,
yes.
In the town center,
yeah.
Just only 55. That is opposite, near the...
Okay.
Only 55 and...
What?
Any nightclubs, yes. Opposite in the 55.
Okay. You've got a very strong Newcastle accent.
Absolutely. No, I don't know. My accent is Newcastle.
Yeah, you're from Newcastle? Newcastle?
Newcastle, yeah. Right.
Have you heard of talk radio?
Yeah, I heard before.
Who's your favourite presenter?
Presenter... God.
Can't argue with that, brother. Have a lovely evening.
And you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Yeah, I think we should go back home.
We're here now. It took too long and I need a sleep.
We've just spent 20 minutes arguing whether that is a cathedral or a church. And it says on it, cathedral. And you're going, no, it's not a cathedral, it's a church.
Well, it says Cathedral Church on it.
Yeah, but it's... But exactly. It says Cathedral on it.
Yeah, but then it turns out it's a Catholic one. That's why it's little.
Mate, you can't now start dissing the Catholics.
I'm not. I'm just saying that's why it's diminutive.
You're saying Catholics are small-minded?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying they don't... They don't run this country.
Can I just say... This is not in any way the vile bile that's spewing out of Catherine's mouth is in no way an indication of my views on religion.
This is you trying to get back after the restaurant comment, isn't it?
There's no restaurant comment because you've edited that out.
I haven't.
Oh, balls. You should have edited that out. You can still edit it out because it hasn't gone out yet.
Well, edit this out then as well.
Edit this out?
No.
Don't edit, right, the bit that I said about the food, edit it out.
You've been vile to me today, why should I do you any favours?
Mate, I have been driving for nearly 7 hours while you slept and moaned about me listening to Elvis Costello's audiobook.
I didn't moan about it, I just said it wasn't a barrel of laughs.
No, he's not a comedian. He's a doer, singer, songwriter.
With the emphasis on the doer.
Anyway, it's a cathedral.
Catholic one, though.
They still count.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evening, dear listener. We are live now. You can hear us. That was our day. Later on, before the end of the show, you're going to hear as well. Remember we did the Eddie Large, an evening with Eddie Large a couple of weeks ago? You're going to hear some of the highlights from that as well. But for now, you can give us a call, 03444991000. We're coming live from Simon's house. CJ! Hey.
Hello.
Hello, CJ.
Hi, CJ.
Hello, Simon, too.
Hi, CJ. Is everything cool?
Oh, it's cool, man. It's cool.
Good. What you got for us, CJ?
I've got a theory about badgers.
Oh,
excellent.
Yeah, it's out there theory. Now, when you only find dead badgers, you only find them in concreted areas, don't you?
Okay, let's assume that your premise is correct.
Well, what if badgers live in the sky?
Okay, right.
That wasn't going where I thought it was going to go, but...
And they sort of have, like, little engines in their backsides that make them float around the clouds. And when the engines run out of energy, because they're not eating enough bacteria in space or in the sky, they come crashing down into the Earth. Thus
are you back on the booze, CJ?
I am certainly not back on the
booze. I recommend you go back on the booze immediately. Thank you for that. Let's go to Emma. Evening, Emma.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hello, Emma. I am fine and dandy. What you got for us?
A story. Well, I know Simon Pearson. He's an old friend. Hello, Simon.
Oh, hi, Emma. How's it going?
Not bad.
Long time no speak.
Definitely.
Did I see you at a zoo recently up Northumberland way? Or was that your sister? I can't actually remember.
Yeah, I have a mini zoo. I have 3 cats and a dog in a children's flat.
Fair enough, fair enough.
There we go.
It's a very niche conversation.
Very nice, okay.
I actually have a funny story about what you had on earlier about when they ring you for your recent accident.
Oh, yeah, that happened as we were driving up. Literally, as we pulled away, the phone rang, and I thought, oh, this could be fun. And it was one of those recent accidents. But now, because I answered it and spoke to them all day, I've been getting phone calls from different numbers, all the same thing.
Well, my old boss, she's left my job where I work now and put a mobile to one of these people. And she's married, her husband's all well and alive. And I answered the phone and went, yes, my accident where my husband died. Thank you for reminding me of my grief.
Oh. Well, this is the thing. If they're going to keep phoning me, I mean, I don't get many phone calls, but I'm more than happy to give them a... Well, you heard me say to the guy, yes, did you suffer any injuries? Yes, it was fatal. I mean, you're dealing with absolute idiots here.
But the bloke didn't even attempt
really
to do
funny,
it.
Actually, to be honest, it was a fatal accident.
He didn't even attempt to do an official voice, though, did he, the guy?
No,
like, hello? No, not at all.
That's the best they can do. But do you know what? I'd love to be in an accident and get $5,000. As long as it wasn't, like, you know, crippled or something, you know. Well, not crippled forever.
What would you lose? Like finger,
I would easily lose a finger.
Which one?
I would lose any finger for $5,000. I'd lose a thumb for $20,000.
Would you?
Yeah.
That's the most important one.
Any
digits.
Finger, though.
Pinkies, you don't need, do you?
Pinky, I'll chop it off just for a laugh.
Whoa.
Go and fetch me a knife, Simon.
Although I told you about my mate who lost his pinky.
Yeah.
He forgets that he lost it. until he tries to scrape the carrots off the chopping board. Oh. He moves his hand along and they're still all there.
Oh. Emma, listen, thank you very much for calling. Nice to talk to you. Cleo, stay there. We're going to come to you after the news. Dear listener, we are coming live. Well, we're in Newcastle. We've been to Newcastle. We're about 20 miles out of Newcastle in Morpeth. It is absolutely delightful. We're very lucky to be in Simon's house. Thank you very much, Simon. You can call us 03444991000. You can watch us on periscope.com/Ian Lee. And I mustn't forget to tell the whole reason that we're in Newcastle is because we're doing a show on Sunday at 5 o'clock in Newcastle. We've sold 36
I'm going.
Tickets.
He's I'm going.
We've sold 36 tickets. The place holds 300. I will tell you after the news how you can come and how you can be part of the show. And
we'll fill it out with all my mates.
Exactly.
Fine.
Let's do it.
Oh, but if you want to take part in the show tonight, very, very simple. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, we call you back. You're listening to The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Dear listener, we need to break this London-centric thing we've got in broadcasting. And BBC had a stab at it, of moving everyone to Salford. I don't think it worked. In our own small way, Kath and I are trying to do it. We are coming from just outside Newcastle. We are in a listener's house. Normal rules apply. 03444991000 is the telephone number. The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good evening, dear listener. This is the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee. We are the more we've not really spoken about this, Catherine.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more I think it is pretty much up to us to break the London centricity of broadcasting. We talked about the BBC moving to Salford. I think that they did it because they were told they had to do it by the government. It didn't really achieve anything because it was mainly moving London for people, you know, people that lived in or near London were paid a subsidy to move up north.
And also, there was a whole furore in the papers. Yep. I don't know how much of that was whipped up by the papers. One of them being a newspaper that forced my dad to move from north to south, and there was no moaning when it came to that. It was either you take the job or you don't. Anyway, it whipped up that there were people moving from London who didn't want to go, you know, so it felt like a massive, you know, hardship.
And I don't think it really works, because a lot of the big name presenters, particularly on Five Live, which is based up there, do their shows from London, or when Victoria Derbyshire was doing the show, she'd get flown up there, flown back.
And that's not really the point, is
no.
it?
No, and also the guests would get flown up there or sent up on a train for... So it doesn't really work like that. But I think with this show, we have the power to do this. We've already done this show from Edinburgh. We did it from Manchester. Now we're doing it from Morpeth, just outside Newcastle. We're going to go back to Manchester in a few weeks. We need to sort that out. Mm-hmm. We need... Right, this is the plan. Once a month... I'm saying this now, so we have to do it. Once a month, to start with, guys. It's a starter. We're going to come from from somewhere that is not London.
Well, I've had someone already on Periscope saying when you're going to Ireland, when you're going to Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
So there are places, you know.
Well, there are places. I know there's places.
No, but there are places that would like us to go there. You know?
Okay, this is. Well, let's put this into action. At least once a month, and I know it's not a lot, but we're just two people and I have to do the driving. And bloody hell, I'm never driving to Newcastle again. That was the worst mistake of my life.
I drove to Manchester, as you will remember, with not so hilarious consequences.
Yes, but that is Manchester's like half the distance.
I know,
to
but
Newcastle.
Still, I'm trying, and I'll do the next one.
At least once a month to start with, we are going to make it our mission to come from somewhere that is not London. And I understand why everything is London-centric, because it's the capital city, it's where all the business is, it's where the main studios are, it's where production companies are, it's where... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
so I get it.
But the problem is, when I was growing up in Manchester, there was never anyone that sounded like me on the radio. There was never anyone that sounded like me on the television programmes, you know, where the... for example, and this is a bad example, but Jim will fix it. The kids never
see... Oh, why did you have to bring that
no,
up?
No, but they always seem to be London
kids. For goodness sakes.
Anyway, probably just as... I never got my letter
one
answered.
One thing we can all agree on, though, can't we? That the Belfast Why Don't You wasn't worth watching.
Oh, I liked
when it.
Was,
when it was Belfast Week, and this isn't me being racist, when it was Belfast Week, switched off.
Because no, I liked it because I liked the way they said Phelim.
Phelim, but I couldn't understand what they said. Anyway, let's go to Ed. Good evening, Ed.
Hello.
Hello, Ed.
Yeah, how are you?
None of your business. What do you want?
It's not how you want.
Sorry?
No, I didn't. Basically, I haven't listened at all. Your guy was filling me in that you're in Newcastle or somewhere.
Northumberland.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Right, and, what do you want, Ed?
Nothing. I just want to speak to you. I tried to phone, like, maybe 2 months ago, and there was a massive queue.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're through to me now. So, what do you want to say?
Have you thought of doing maybe more shows in London? Is that a thing? I didn't hear what you were saying, but no. Yeah. So, what are you doing up there?
Jesus, bloody hell. To getting away from idiots like you, Ed.
Yeah, I know I'm an idiot, but yeah, I didn't have a topic. Are badges real?
Right. Thanks for calling, Ed. Let's go to Cleo.
That was a very good call.
Jeez. I mean, really? What is...
Cleo's the local lad, isn't he?
So he's waited 2 months to do that?
I'm fairly local. Well, yeah, I'm fairly local.
Here we go, Cleo. Bearing in mind we finish at 1 o'clock, so let's start your story now, buddy, and we'll get about a quarter of it done.
I'm glad to see you made it anyway, safely and soundly.
Yes, we made it safely and soundly. Guided by pretty much by Elvis Costello's audiobook, which I absolutely love. I don't know anything about him. I don't really know that many songs. But flipping heck, I love his audiobook. He's got such a soft... Thing is, he loves it. He loves it. And he's got such a soft... voice, which is a hint of a Liverpool accent, a little bit transatlantic, a little bit London. It is brilliant. I've fallen in love with Elvis Costello. How's about that?
That's good. He seems to have a good sense of humour, though. But he's come across in the...
Yes, it does. He spends 10 minutes talking about his dad doing the vocals to the Secret Lemonade Drinker song.
No, oh, well, of course. And he was also on...
Go on.
No.
Nope.
I'm thinking Gary Shandling, but it's what's the actual name?
No, it's on Frasier. Anyway, yes.
Gary Shandling, but his programme...
Larry Sanders, yes.
That's the fella.
Dear God.
Anyway,
right.
I've sent you some pictures on Twitter.
Not rude ones.
Yeah, I can't really see Twitter.
Well, the thing is, you've been to Newcastle Cathedral today.
Yes.
And what were you doing the rabbit hole this weekend?
Oh, yes.
There's a famous thing in the square of the cathedral called the Vampire Rabbit. And it's a little gargoyle, and it is a genuinely scary little gargoyle thing above a door.
Thanks for calling, Cleo. Right. If they legalised LSD... The plan that I had in 1995, where I took acid and said, man, everyone should do this, I'm going to spike the water. Did I actually do it today? Because everyone is talking out of their backsides.
I normally don't call... I do listen to your show all the time, as I've sort of discussed before, but I don't really call unless I feel as if I can contribute something, you know. That's,
there's a tip.
You know, 0-3-4-4. I don't just phone up and go down the phone, you know.
0-3-4-4-4.
But you could.
I could. And that's the beauty of it.
0-3-4-4-4-9-9-1000 is the telephone number. But Cleo is right to remind us that the reason we are here is on Sunday, Catherine and I will be performing at the Stand Comedy Club at 5 o'clock. 5 till 7, the show is. The venue holds 300. Look at that lady on the telly. The venue holds 300. The show is on Sunday. There are 264 tickets left. So
I'm making my aim to fill all of them.
So, guys, hurry up
and hundreds of them, obviously.
Get those tickets before they sell out. They're only a tenner each. So if you're coming, that's brilliant. If you're not, you'll be able to watch this show on Periscope, and also you'll be able to call in and Skype us and stuff. So follow me on Twitter. You will be able to find out more. Let's go to Rich. Good evening, Rich.
Oh, forget I said that, actually. I was ringing up to see if, to pass on a cordial invite to Kingston upon Hull to do the show.
Yeah, okay.
It's nice, though. Culture 2017.
Hang on a minute, mate. I don't know if you heard. I didn't say no. I went, yeah, okay. You don't have to sell it.
I know, I heard that. I was just sort of giving a bit more background to the city that we are.
I know Hull.
There's a lovely sea life place there, I believe, in Hull, isn't it?
I know Hull. There's a giant propeller in the square at the moment.
Sadly not. Beautiful. That went a couple of months ago.
Okay.
It was there for 3 months. But,
I've been to Hull again when I was about 17 years old. I was the same time when I went to Newcastle. Yes, okay, fine.
We've been there since.
Huh?
We've been there since.
Not to Hull.
Yeah, we have.
What? Oh, for those silly BBC awards.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
the merit badges.
Yes. Okay. When were you thinking?
Well, you said you were going to want to fancy doing it monthly, so you could always come up next month. You feel free to come.
Right. We can't. Listen. Here's the thing. We're going to Manchester at the end of July, so it would have to be. We're looking at August or September.
Great stuff. Well, the end of August, start of September, there's a thing called Freedom Festival over a weekend here, which is...
That's where everyone just covers the George Michael song, is it?
that's not a bad idea. I'm sure we could
do
something.
Do you know what? Imagine a weekend festival, right? The Freedom Festival. It starts on Friday at 2, and it finishes at 11 o'clock Sunday night, and it's just people doing their interpretation of Freedom by George Michael.
With George Michael masks on.
If they wanted to. That's not compulsory, but if they wanted to, then yes.
I'll nip down the joke shop tomorrow and see if I can
buy
one.
That would be awesome, actually, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, send me, Rich, send me an email, ian@ianlee.com, and we'd love to.
Great stuff. Cheers.
Nice one, man. Thank you very much indeed. Simon, you do silent discos.
I do, yeah.
I've been in a silent disco once. I'll be honest.
Whereabouts was it?
I'm going to move that ever slightly away from your mouth. Sorry, but don't need to go. It was like on the South Bank somewhere. But it's the thing where you have the headphones on.
Yeah, so very similar to what we're doing now.
Yes.
There'd be two channels or three channels of music. Live DJs, so you can just sort of tune in.
But no one can hear the music unless they've got the headphones
on. That's right. So you've got a massive room full of, 500 people.
Yeah.
They've all got their headphones on.
Yeah.
Take your headphone off, and it's just singing, shouting, people's, do you want to go on a date and all that or whatever. Put your headphone on and you can just rave away to whatever's on the channels. ABBA maybe on channel
one. Surely you should all be dancing to the same thing.
Well, that's the beauty of it though, because it kind of makes that sort of weird, interesting atmosphere. You might get half of the people raving along to the latest David Guetta hit.
Yes.
And then, another half...
Remind me to look up David Guetta.
Do you know who?
Then another half, just raving on to an old classic from the 70s or whatever, or a bit of like Chesney Hawks or something.
Yeah.
And you've just got that sort of... it just looks odd. When you take your headphones off, it just looks really strange.
So you run it.
It's my... I run one of the companies. There's a few of them now.
Yours is the best, though.
We're one of the first. Yeah, of course, we're a headphone party. And I'm UK Silent Disco on Twitter. Just get that out
there.
Yes. I've been doing it now for about 10 years. We used to run it from Reading, so... sort of near to where you were from. But then moved up here in Northumberland, and the universities, student unions,
so
weddings.
When people are dancing then, you sort of seek out someone who's dancing to a similar beat to you? Or
you still seek them out if you fancy them.
So,
isn't it?
You've got the two channels. You just listen to music, and then if it's rubbish and you don't like that song, you press your button, listen to something else. If that's rubbish as well, then you...
I don't condone drug use.
No. Of course.
Okay, guys, I just want to get
not.
That clarified.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you.
This is drug culture that's taking place. but how often are you doing it then? How big?
All the time. This is, this is the busy period.
Is it better for your hearing?
Arguably, yeah, it would be, because you can actually control the headphones' volume.
Do you get perverts that turn the music off?
There's perverts
everywhere.
They pretend
they're listening to the music, but really they're just...
And touching themselves and that. Yeah, you get that. You get that everywhere,
okay.
Yeah.
So
but I don't actually go to the events all the time, because we operate with couriers, and we just ship them out.
I see.
They go off somewhere, and then we'll come back.
How many headphones have you got?
We've got about 3,000 in stock at the minute. Most of them would be next door. We've got an outlet in Ashington as well with some in. But they're actually all at events this weekend. So we've got some headphones at the Queen of Hoxton on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, on the rooftop in London.
Right.
Queen of Oxton.
I'm not driving back to London.
No, do you want to go back to that? When is that? That's tomorrow, isn't it? Saturday,
yeah. Yes.
Queen of Oxton, and then we've got some at the Brainchild Festival somewhere down south. I was there. And all over the place. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's interesting. And if people sort of look at it and think, oh, what's this rubbish? Oh, that'll be rubbish. You know, but once you get there, you put your headphones on, you've had a few drinks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I would highly recommend rush out now and order the headphones.
Go and do it. I'm going to sit this one out, but, you know, I'm sure...
Oh, I love a dance, man.
No, it's good. I mean, you know, you do need to be fully drunk to fully embrace it. I know, you know, you're out.
I'm out. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. Badcock and James, stay there, coming to you after this.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, isn't George Galloway the nicest man? I should just say, on Fridays, before us, 7 till 10, in case you missed it, George Galloway is on. And I'm reminded, because I can see him tweeting, but I can't... I'll reply to him later, but I can't... The way we're here, he's over there. But it's a cracking listen. Now, here's the thing, right? And on Monday to Thursday, it's James Whale, 7 till 10. And then on Friday, it's George Galloway. And here's the thing. I agree with... It varies. It varies with George. I agree with between 50 and, I would say, 70% of what he says. I disagree with him on Brexit. So there's loads of stuff I disagree with. And people say, how can you listen to someone who you disagree with? Oh, No. First of all, Galloway is like a ringmaster. He is, I mean, first of all, he's got that delicious voice. Secondly, the way he plays the callers and he plays the guests is fantastic. And also, I think it's healthy to listen to people that you disagree with. Otherwise, you're just in an echo chamber. And it helps me, listening to shows like George's and others, it helps me either helps solidify my opinion and why I disagree with them, or, and here's a thing, guys, that I'm not too proud to admit, sometimes I change my opinion. If I listen to someone like George and he explains something and I go, oh, do you know what? I hadn't thought of it like that. And then I go away and give it some thought and come back and go, do you know what? Maybe he's got a point.
You're absolutely right. I was talking to my dad the other day and we're having this conversation about people whose ideas are fixed.
Yes.
And, you know,
sometimes
we'll talk to people who are in their 60s, maybe older, and you think, I could have had this conversation with you 30 years ago, and you would have said the same thing to me. I never want to be that person, but my dad reckons that you get to about our age, and by that time, a lot of your opinions are stuck.
Oh God, no! I'm constantly flipping and flopping. Yeah. There are some things that I'm pretty firm on, but I like to listen to people that I don't always agree with. I like to read newspapers that I don't agree with, and it either reaffirms my belief or makes me go, "Hang on a second, maybe there is a different way of looking
at this."
Here's
a novel idea as well. You can still like someone and not agree with everything they say.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be in this current climate, you know, especially if you look at Twitter, and I know Twitter isn't a huge barometer of how people really deal with each other, because people would say things on Twitter they would never say out loud. But on Twitter, someone disagrees with you, or they immediately plough in, and it's generally in quite a nasty way.
Yeah.
You very rarely see a friendly discussion.
But also,
it tends to be quite partisan.
But the basic thing it boils down to is he's a bloody good listen. He's a really good listen. Friday 7 to 10 before us. He's our warm-up. We're his cool-down, however you want to look at it. But if you only tune in at 10 to listen to this nonsense, just tune in, you know, an hour, half an hour
before. I've only listened to him a couple of times. I have enjoyed what I've heard.
Yeah.
But I need to make it more of an effort.
I think... He's brilliant. I've listened to him when he was on Talk Sport. I listened to him when he was on LBC for a while. And I make a point of seeking him out. So to be on after him. And also, he just smells nice.
Above all the smell.
Doesn't he smell nice?
Can I just say that the total output in talk radio, I think, is amazing. From about 1 o'clock, so you've got John Holmes, Sam Delaney, James sometimes, and then obviously George. But I just think...
By the way,
radio.
Paul Ross, who does breakfast, nicest man in the world. Radio station shuts down at 10 o'clock in the morning for 3 hours, and that's fine. David Badcock.
Why are y'all...
What was that?
Are you all right, David?
Why I?
You're doing the accent. Go on, buddy. Away you go. Go on. Hang on. The floor is yours. Go on.
Why I?
Okay, the new.
Okay, no,
that's Scottish.
You veered a few miles north, David. I'm guessing that tonight you're sober because it's only 20 minutes past 11, so you've probably not had time to get all that booze down your neck. What are you up to? Seancing? You're doing a seance? You're doing a Ouija board? You've got the planchette? Are you talking to spirits? Are you being entered? What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening, Ian.
Yes?
I've got you on my TV.
Oh! Are you watching old videos of the 11 o'clock show?
No, I'm watching the Rabbit Stream live feed.
Oh, well, absolutely fantastic. I'm giving you our secret signal, David. It's our secret signal. You'll get that soon. There's a slight delay, okay?
I tell you what, the Babe Station's gone downhill, hasn't it?
Oh, we can put that on if you want.
That's a bit rude towards Catherine.
If your credit card bounces, what can I do?
Sorry, it's quite nice having you in my living room as if you're on a little sofa in the corner.
Whereabouts do you live, David? Maybe we can come and do the show from your house one day.
I was going to suggest that, actually.
Oh.
Go on then, suggest it.
Maltby, Rotherham.
Huh?
Rotherham.
I don't know where that is.
Rotherham.
Have we been to Rotherham?
I don't know, I don't know where it is.
It's by York, isn't it, somewhere?
Where is it?
Kind of near Sheffield.
Sheffield. Okay, well, we drove past Sheffield. Is it... Okay, we drove past Sheffield earlier on. Sheffield seemed like a long way away until, you know, 3 hours later, we're still going up the bloody
A1. It's still up north,
isn't it? I fell asleep and woke up again, and there were still signs for Scotch Corner.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have been stuck in those roadworks there.
We were stuck in those
20
roadworks.
20 miles of roadworks.
Okay, yeah, fine. What are you doing next week?
Next week, I'm not here.
Okay, the week after?
I'll have to look at my calendar. Anyway, we'll talk on Facebook because we're best friends on there.
Okay, we're not best friends. I just befriended you to basically take the mickey out of you, really. I'm cyberbullying you.
Right.
I'm trolling
you. I joined Grindr.
Oh, how'd you get on?
Ooh. Well, you're a tricky trickster, aren't you, Ian Lee?
Because you phoned in last night to say you're having trouble with Tinder, and I suggested maybe Grindr might work a bit better for you.
Oh, God.
Yes, and it, you failed to tell me...
Did you have any luck? Or did you find it quite hard? Was it hard when you were on Tinder and Grindr?
I had 3 responses before I realised it was a site for homosexuals.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
Not all the gentlemen being on there.
There's nothing wrong with it at all, but it's not how I sail my ship.
Okay, that's fine. Well,
but did the alarm bells not ring when it was only men that popped up when you were swiping left or right?
Never you mind. Peter said, I've got 3 responses. Do you want to hear them?
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Peter says, nice name. I love a bit of Babcock at night.
Okay.
Well, that's promising.
That's good.
Kind. What a nice man.
Maybe he's heard you on the radio.
Gary says, do you want to investigate my haunted corridor?
Did you say that you put the willies up them?
I didn't say anything. These were unsolicited remarks.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your bio say, though? They obviously know about your background, so to speak.
Well, the same as before, and I put what Ian told me to put.
What did you put?
Well, you know, I'm a spiritual... Anyway, the last one I'll have to censor.
Okay.
It was Rodriguez. Mm. He says, I'm horny and I love a man in glasses. Wanna F. That wasn't the end of it. He said, I'd love to see in your A. Now, that's not the kind of thing that's... You want to be saying on an internet
thing. Hey, what the... Write that down. I'll ponder that during the next break, what that might mean. I'd like to see in your A.
I can tell you what it means.
I'd like to see in your A. Oh, that's a good one. I'll save that one, and we'll get the answer off air, and we can do that as a phone in 03444991000. What does I'd like to see in your A? I'm seeing my mum next week. I'll catch her out with that one. I'll see if she can get it. Thanks for that, David.
I've got my guitar.
Sorry?
I've got my guitar. Do you want me to play you a song? It's only quick.
Not really, but you might as well.
You still there?
Yeah, not for much longer.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
That was surprisingly good.
Thank you.
I'd like to see in your A.
So would I.
We'd all like to see in your A. Thanks a lot, David. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000. That was surprisingly good, wasn't
it? He didn't sound like a man who played like that, did he?
No, he didn't. He sounds like a knob. Mm. So for him to be able to pull that off, 0344-499-1000, I'd like to see in your A. What does that mean? You can give us a call.
I've got a guitar somewhere.
Oh,
go.
Is it about CNA?
The defunct shopping brand.
Yeah, although they still have them in Spain.
Do they? Oh.
I'd like... We'll work it out at some point, dear listener. By the way, if you are from Newcastle, if you have been to Newcastle, if you are fans of Newcastle, tomorrow... tomorrow I'm going to be sleeping for most of it. I don't really have much to do, though. I don't know where to go. I don't know what there is to do or what there is to see. We're not far from the beach, so we could go to the beach and have chips on the beach. I like chips on the beach.
I just like chips.
You can have chips in town. Yep. I might go
plenty
to
of
the beaches
beach. With plenty of chip shops.
I might have some of that.
Sea House is a good place. It's quite a more. The thing is, with those sort of places, you've got another hour's drive.
I don't want another hour's drive. I want the one that said when we were driving here. It said 8 miles to the beach.
Tynemouth is probably closest. Tynemouth is the nicest and the closest one to where you are.
Is that Geordie Shore?
No. Oh God, no. Geordie Shore is actually filmed in Wall's End.
Is it?
Yeah, on the river. It's actually filmed because I DJ'd. He is a factoid.
Yes.
With the Silent Disco, I actually DJ'd at the Geordie Shore house on the second series.
Oh, did you?
Expecting it to be in like a, because it was meant to be in a Jesmond house. Uh-huh. I don't know if that means anything to you. Mm-hmm. A house in a posh end of Newcastle.
Yeah.
The first series was, but they wrecked it, and the guys that had the house said, "You're not coming back." So they put them in a business container, sort of industrial park.
Wow.
On a industrial thing in Wall's End. I think it's
so
Oceana Business Park.
How interesting.
Everyone go there, that's where they are. Down by the river.
Well, I've literally no idea what was being said there. 0344, I don't know, it's not a programme.
I watch it.
It's a load of rubbish, I don't watch it.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. You're listening to The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Alex is suggesting I'd like to concentrate in your attic. Certainly is possible. 0344-499-1000. Coming up a bit later on. Maybe you don't know. Some of you probably missed the fact that we were doing this. But we had Eddie Large on the show. When did we have Eddie Large on the show?
Oh, God, it was months ago. About 3-4 months ago.
Was it this year? It was this year, wasn't it?
Probably just this side of Christmas.
And I organised it when I went on strike in March. So, yes, probably February we had him on. So anyway, we had Eddie Large on from Little and Large, right? And he and I thought, got on really, really well. And so I had a stupid idea of putting on an evening with Eddie Large. And we put it on 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. And it was a surprising success. I oversold it, but luckily some people... Oh, God! Naked Attraction. Look at that. But I
flipping it.
Hang on a second. I put it on, and it was a raging success, and people came, and it was very funny. Eddie was very, very funny. He played an absolute blinder, and he was very nervous, and there was a wobble. There was a wobble at the start where he came on, and he was so nervous. And I introduced him when he came on, and there were 250, probably closer to 300 people there. And he was doing his little spiel at the start, and he was started hyperventilating, and I was sat in the wings at one side, and his missus was sat at the wings at the other side, Patsy, the lovely Patsy, and he started hyperventilating, and he sat down, and we both kind of looked at each other and went, oh, how's this going to go? But it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And what we're going to do a little bit later on, after 12, we will play you about 20 minutes or so of that evening, so you can hear how it went. Is the question about the ghost in there?
Of course it is.
The Q&A. Any questions? Yeah, who's the best person you work with? What was it like when you had to break up with Sid? Have you ever seen a ghost? Superb. James is on the line, though. Good evening, James.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Right, Ian. I'm a first-time caller.
Are you?
Yeah,
I've never made
nervous.
A phone call before.
No.
That's wonderful, James. Well, what's drawn you to call in this evening?
Right, basically, right. I heard you do it today, and I haven't heard you do it too many times before, but there's a couple of broadcasters out there who are guilty of this. And one, I don't know if I should name him. Well, he's a good broadcaster. It's Ian Boldsworth, also known as Ray Peacock. But right. He's basically, it's the overuse of the word genuinely.
Yes, okay. I don't use literally unless I literally mean it.
But genuinely, is it just a form of like verbal procrastination? Because what everything's and once you hear it once, you yep. hear it all the time, and yep. everyone uses it these days. Have you noticed?
You've slipped me a red pill now, haven't you? I'm not going to be able to. Yeah. Do you know what? Yes, it is a form of verbal procrastination. I do. I'm quite lazy in my speech, and I do from time to time, James. I kind of latch on to a word. And then I use it a lot. Everyone. Does it annoy you?
Yeah, well, the thing is, the more I hear it, the more I use it as well. And I hate myself for doing that.
Yeah.
Don't hate yourself.
Does it mean, like, that the rest of what I say is lies? What does it mean? If, yes, you know, I genuinely mean it.
Okay. Well, just embrace it. Embrace genuinely embrace it, because I think it genuinely suits you.
Oh, I don't like it.
Use it!
It doesn't feel right.
It feels good. If it feels good.
I genuinely don't want to.
I genuinely think you should.
And I'm genuinely sorry for not coming to the rabbit hole on Sunday.
Are you in Newcastle?
I'm not, no. I'm London.
You have an excuse for not coming. We're doing one in London in September.
Yeah, I'm coming to that one. That's no problem. It's the other ones. I mean, the problem is the travelling as well, because yeah. that's just like, it's a killer. I don't know how you stay awake for that long. Right. I've started...
Hang on a second. You're saying that yeah. now you've had a go at me for using the word genuinely, right?
Yeah.
And you've just said that the travel is a killer. What?
Yeah.
How many times have you been killed travelling?
Well, I've nearly been killed. I keep falling asleep. I've started driving around the country for my job, and I find myself dropping off. So I fall asleep in the slow lane and wake up in the fast lane.
Oh no! You've got to be careful about that. I used to do that when I was younger, and now if I feel it coming on, I get out of the car. I pull over and I get out of the car and have a little walk around or a coffee or something.
It happened to me a couple of times when I started driving back. When we started at Talk Radio, it's quite a long drive for me, and driving home a couple of times it happened, and it's terrifying, isn't it? You think, what the hell? How long? I thought it was just a blink.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. on a lot of the motorways now, you do get like the service stations every sort of 15 to 20 miles, you know.
Well, so there's a couple of times I've hit the rumble strips on the side. They flip it, thank God they're there.
Be careful, I do a lot of James!
I do a lot of driving, but luckily I haven't... I don't really... I just drink a lot of energy drinks. Yeah. My body's... Yeah,
go on.
Well, no, I find it worse at night as well.
Yeah.
At night you don't even realise that you're dropping off.
I also think that the lights and the lines on the road are quite mesmeric. And
they
you just
are.
Got to be so careful.
In stop-start traffic, it's fine, but on long stretches of motorway, it's clear for ages. It's not good. Even opening both windows.
But James, you've never called. How long have you been listening? Because you sound like you're a little bit of a fan. I hope that's not an exaggeration. But if you say you're coming to the show in September, that means you're
a genuine fan, Ian.
Well, how long have you been listening for, James?
Since you started.
What, on Talk? On Talk?
No, not forever, but on Talk. It was Barry from Watford that got me into you.
Oh, nice one.
Where is Barry these days?
He's dead.
That's a shame.
He's a shame.
He's toured the same show, I think, for about 2 years now.
Yeah, well...
He's doing pretty well for himself.
He's been doing that same act for about 20 years now, which is... I mean, what act? What do you mean, what act? I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, James, listen, I'm glad you're listening. And thank you for pointing out the overuse of the word genuinely. I need one of those collars that you get to train a dog. The best way to train a dog is those collars that give electric shocks. And I should get one of those and put it around my penis.
Okay, well, I'm happy to buy that.
I think I might have one.
There we go. James, nice one, mate. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. See you in September. Bye-bye. We are doing the Rabbit Hole Show in September at London at King's Place. It's the only London show we're doing this year. Here's my thing. I've done lots of live shows in the last 24 months, okay? Mm-hmm. So we've got this one on Sunday at Newcastle. We've got Manchester, I think, on the 29th.
Yeah, my Auntie Edna's coming.
And then we've got London in September, I think it's September the 17th. After that, I don't want to do any more live shows for about 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to do the rabbit hole?
I don't know. And we need to have a talk about... I don't want to do any more live shows. I think I just feel like I've done too many. And I want to.
They're all great, though.
They are all great. No, some of them. And honestly, some of them have been ropey. Part of me feels that I'm doing a little bit too much with this show, with the Virgin show. That's on Sunday. Should be good. Yeah. The Mixcloud show and the live show. I just want to pull back from doing some
stuff.
Okay,
cool. But you've had a recent burst of activity, and I think that it's probably a hangover from that.
No, I've been thinking about it for a while. I want to stop. I want to retire.
Are you still doing the voiceover?
I would like to retire from live work in front of an audience. Luckily, this radio show doesn't count because no bugger listens to it. 03444991000. Gareth, stay there. Come to you after this break.
Unmissable Late Night Radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good evening, dear listener. This is the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee. Monday to Friday, every week between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. It's a late night phone-in show. Unlike any other, in that I sit here and I chat about stuff, and we do talk openly about mental health and, you know, being suicidal and loneliness, but we also just dick around and talk a load of nonsense. And today, we have been all over the shop. If you've just tuned in, we are doing the show from just outside Newcastle in a place called Morpeth in Simon's house.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Simon.
How's it going?
Thank you for inviting us.
I keep saying that, I know. But, you're more than welcome.
Thank you.
When you sort of were looking for a place last week, I thought, you know, I'm in. I've got the fast internet, as you mentioned.
Very fast internet.
And you're more than welcome to put as many devices onto the Wi-Fi
as possible. We are caning his internet. I've got a BitTorrent open. I'm downloading so many movies. Tonight's the night. You can watch us on Periscope, periscope.tv/Ian Lee. Catherine, you've just knocked that. You need to go and rebalance that, please.
Oh, hang on a minute.
So that it is...
Skirt's just popped up.
Oh, there we go.
First things first.
Let us go to Gareth. Good evening, Gareth.
Good evening, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Gareth. How are you doing?
Good. I do. I'm a podcast listener, and we have worked a little bit together. I'm the flute player, Gareth.
It's Gareth. Gareth, how are you doing, man? You all right?
I'm very good.
Gareth plays the best rock, jazz, pop, soul, funk flute you've ever heard. He's a genius.
Oh, well, you're very kind. You're a gamer. Have you played Horizon Zero Dawn?
No,
because I'm on that. I'm playing in that a lot.
What is it? I don't even know. I'm kind of a little bit out of touch with games. The only game I'm playing at the moment are Mario Kart on the Switch
Classics. And
Resident Evil on the Xbox. But I'm finding that a little bit tricky.
This Horizon Zero Dawn, it was PlayStation's biggest launch in history. And so I didn't know this at the time when I was recording it. I would have charged them more. But I'm on the soundtrack of that. Yeah, I'm it on that. I wanted to come up because I listen to the podcast and you say, you know, to just to call in and say listen to the podcast. So I do, and I enjoy that very much.
Thank you.
This is a proper throwback. I've got terrible actors in good actors in terrible movies.
Oh, wait, did we do that as a phone-in?
Yeah, it's a serious delay.
Okay, beautiful.
The thing is, because I get podcast anxiety, I just have too many podcasts.
This is why I didn't really start listening to podcasts until about a year ago when I was asked to go on Scroobius Pips and Adam Buxton's, and I thought, I better listen to them to see what they are like. Just because there are too many podcasts. Say, talk about games. About 10 years ago, I used to get sent video games because I used to write about them and review them and stuff. So I'd get sent all these games. And it got to a point where I had so many, you know, spoilt kid problems. I had so many games that I couldn't sit down and have a session on the Xbox because I couldn't choose because there were so many. So I ended up playing the same game over and over again. And it's the same with podcasts. There are just so many. And like, because we were going to America, we discovered Keith and the Girl and Beautiful Anonymous and Maeve in America and all of these things. And there are just so many of them. I've stopped listening. This is why I'm listening to audiobooks now, because there are so many podcasts, I can't choose them. So I choose not to listen to them.
But I've got audiobooks as well, and then I listen to so many podcasts that my iPod is full, And then I've got audiobooks that I haven't listened to as well. And then my audiobook credits are now there piling up. And then they send you an email saying, oh, you've got 6 credits. You either lose it, you use it or lose it. So you're only allowed to have 6 credits.
Just without mentioning any companies, you know you can return those audiobooks and get your credit back.
No.
Mate, I did it 9 times, right?
What?
Until they, on the 3 months trial, to the point where I did it 9 times, they said, you've done it too many times. I just downloaded 9, but you can return the audiobook and get your credit back. But I shouldn't be telling you that. You've got 6 credits already.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, basically, I started gifting. I put it on Facebook. I said, who wants an audiobook?
Send them this way. Go and get Billy Idol's autobiography. I insist you do it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Well, the problem is, the thing is, it's just, I haven't got the time to listen to them. Anyway, but yeah, movie, great actors. And I think this could close this topic, I think.
We kind of closed it about six months ago.
So anyway, this one is a corker. So it's Sir John Gielgud.
Yes.
It's Dame Helen Mirren.
Yes.
And Peter O'Toole. So you'd acknowledge that all three of those are great actors, yes?
Isn't the remake of Arthur, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, although that's a pretty good candidate, actually, come to think of it. But it's Caligula. Have you seen Caligula?
Now, is that the one from the 70s where they're all shagging?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is
what a surprise. I mean, Helen Mirren showing her bum off in a movie. Unbelievable.
It's quite astonishing what is in that film, for considering what you know, the people who are in it and everything else. I mean, it's
Ken Russell, is it?
No, I can't remember. I can't remember who the director is. But there was an Italian guy who was.
I know exactly who it is. Yes, I know exactly who it is. He did that sort of muck that you could. It was argued that it was art, but really it was just really twisted porn.
Yeah,
porn for cowards.
Exactly what and it's just sort of but I caught. I mean, it's a bit one of those cult movies, but it's truly horrendous. Well. And as soon as I heard this, and you know, I've been listening to the podcast, and I must call up and do that. And so here I am. And
well, Gareth, it sounds like you're travelling. Gareth, are you travelling to or from a flute playing gig?
I had a gig this evening. I was playing at my old college, which was really strange. The last time I played there was for my final recital, and I was invited back to play at a big sort of alumni concert. So that was, and I just got off the plane from Australia yesterday, so I'm kind of tripping off my head. And it's probably why I called you, because I've got no filter. I've just decided to call up and say whatever comes into my head. There we go.
We tend to speak sort of once every 7 years or something like that?
About that. I mean, I've called. The only place I didn't call you in was the morning place, because as a musician, I don't really do mornings.
As a radio host, I didn't really do mornings. And
no. Hats off to you for getting up. Just
Got to feed the kids. Got to put food on the table.
I get that. I do get that. So I just got off the plane from Australia yesterday, and played that tonight. I'm playing with Goldie tomorrow.
Goldie?
With the teeth.
As in Goldie, yeah.
Because he's making a little bit of a musical comeback, isn't he?
He is. It's great stuff. I'm in the Heritage Orchestra, which we're doing the Scott Walker prom as well in July, which should be good.
Hang on a minute. What's Scott Walker prom?
There's a Scott Walker prom on the 25th of July.
What, is he doing it, or are you playing? What was the setup there?
He died, didn't he?
Did Scott Walker die? Scott Walker's not dead. Is he? No.
Well, I think he might be. I did Google him, because
I've stood on the same stages. I've stood on
very...
alive. This is
he's
still
74.
Alive.
He's alive.
Oh, you
God.
Muppet.
Good.
I have stood on... I have introduced Jarvis Cocker onto a very small stage, who then introduced Scott Walker onto that same stage. So I've stood on stage with Scott Walker and Jarvis Cocker at the same time. Oh. How's about them apples?
Well, I'll be playing with... So Jarvis Cocker is definitely doing the gig, and who else is doing it? I can't remember. It's 25th of July, so it should be a fun gig. It'll be on TV, I think, and on radio, so...
Hey, that'll be good.
That'll be nice. Yeah,
that sounds all right, doesn't it?
Goldie tomorrow, though, so that'll be fun. We're doing some tracks from his Timeless album, which is always good fun.
There was someone around about the same time, and I saw them on a New Year's Eve 1998, going into 1999. Do you remember Ronnie Size and Represent? Do you remember that? Like, so it was like sort of drum and bass. It was at Alexandra Palace, like sort of drum and bass kind of thing. And I remember the drummer. It was nuts. And he was around about the same time as Goldie. There was a lot of that nonsense going on.
I mean, it's so complex. The drum stuff especially is just ridiculous. I mean, you just sort of sit back and watch these guys. We've got two drum kits and a full percussion section going, and just like the noise is just. And people sit in front of the drum kit. Like, you get the audience that literally just come and they just plant themselves in front of the drums and they're just, like, in a different world.
Well, I remember. When I was 17, 18, 19, it wasn't a good gig unless I came out with my ears ringing. That was the test as to whether it was any good or not.
Yeah, no, I've got all in-ear monitors tomorrow, so it's all. I get to listen at a very civilized volume.
Yes.
I can turn everything down so I can hear everything at a nice. Sedate pedestrian volume rather than being off my head.
Nice one, Gareth. Thank you, mate. Nice to hear from you. I hope that goes well.
Yeah, cheers. All the best.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Do you know what? It's just hit me. I'm really, really tired.
Yeah.
Really tired.
Not surprised.
7 hours in that blooming car.
Do you have any Red Bulls? Or
no, I can't touch
other energy drinks? No.
I can't touch that
The rusty
stuff.
Water.
No, there's no need for that.
I've got a bit of an addiction, unfortunately.
Like, oh, it's not good for you, man. No, that stuff rots your soul. No. Coffee is the thing, and I need to cut down on coffee a little bit, but... I'm absolutely shattered. We've got another hour of this nonsense.
We have. Gareth seems nice. How do you know him?
He used to call me at another place, and when I used to run a variety night...
Oh, yeah.
He came and played. I think Gareth came and played at that. He must have done. Or when I... Anyway, I did something, and he came and played at something.
Nice
I did.
Fella.
I'm not quite sure what, but he's... he's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Proper muso, isn't it? Yeah. Proper muso. Dear listener, if you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. Simon, where in Newcastle should we go to tomorrow?
What do you want to do? I mean, are you wanting to go more cultural museums?
Well, I don't want to go to a nightclub. That much I know.
Because of drinks, we can't have an all-dayer.
I mean, Newcastle, as you know, is famous for its nightlife.
Yes.
And, you know, a big market.
One of my best friends is from Newcastle, and she said the amazing thing about Newcastle is, you know, Geordie Shore thing aside, because that is not representative
at all.
She said what is lovely is the nightlife isn't just for young people. You do get the older people going
out. All right,
out
mate, calm down.
No. Well, I'm saying like our parents' age. They'll all go out, and people go out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the same way, they'll all get dolled up and go out.
And there are specific places where you can get, you know, the rock nights, and every night in Big Market there's a place that does have live music.
The thing about Geordies and Journey?
I have no idea.
Because it's like rock, don't they? Don't Stop Believing is a big theme, isn't it?
Up here. Yeah,
We did see, I don't want to dwell on clichés too much, but we did see the... women wearing very little
clothing. Oh, yes, and you'll get that.
Good for them. Good for them.
That whole thing in their coats.
You don't feel the cold up here. I mean, I've got a couple of jackets back there, but they're very rarely used.
Yeah. It's quite a nice day.
You've got to pay to put them in as well, haven't you? So why don't you take them out?
Exactly. But places to go. So, I mean, if you're looking for cultural, you've got like the Hancock Museum, and it's a bit of a dodgy name.
What's that?
It's like a more of a history sort of museum, so dinosaurs.
A history museum, you say. Right.
Which is really good, and it's free to get in, obviously, being a museum, up by the university. Or you've got the shops, if you want to go shopping.
Nah.
Metro Centre, or boring.
I wouldn't mind some record shops. We saw some good record shops
on Northumberland Street.
Okay.
And there's some back alley. You'd actually like it. I'm not sure the exact location, so you might have to look.
Yeah.
But there are some proper vinyl shops
in
Newcastle. Very, very famous in this area, which you might want to have a little browse in.
We'll have some of that. I'll have some of that.
But it's a lovely city. I mean, I know it's biased from being up this way.
Yes.
But I have seen a lot of cities. I travel a lot with my job. I do travel, and I've seen most of the cities in the UK. But I would definitely say that Newcastle is one of the top
So I'd say I've not been here since I was 17, and my dad was working on Spender, and I got Yeah, exactly. I came up twice, and I'm in two episodes of Spender. Blinking, you. Even if you didn't blink.
I mentioned Craster before off air. I mentioned Craster, which is a little village in Northumberland, and some of Spender was filmed on the piers there.
Where is Jimmy? We were saying this yesterday. Where is Jimmy Nail these days?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's an alien. No.
He might have, I don't know. He might have just made his money with his input and then just chilled, you know.
We made some films, didn't he? Was in Evita.
I don't know. Oh, yes, he was. Yeah, no, of course he was. And then Crocodile Shoes and all of his his back hat like it.
He's probably got enough money.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, no, but I don't know where he is. He's still alive.
I doubt he's got enough. Well, even if he has enough money, he was, you know, he wrote Spender. Mm. That was all him.
That's what I mean. Maybe he's living off that.
You mentioned yesterday you're going to try and get him in on the show. That would be amazing if you could.
I've tried him before, but I'll try.
I don't think he does many sort of media things. I don't think he needs to. He's got nothing to promote.
No, we'll get. If I mention my dad's name to Jimmy Nail, he might, that will bend it, because they weren't mates, but they saw, you know, he took a shine to my dad when Jimmy Nail didn't really take a shine to very many people. Give this one to me. I'm going to hunt down Jimmy Nail, and by hook or by crook, he'll be the last one on this book. Dear listener, we have another hour of this show. If you're thinking of calling, now be a good time, because before the end of the show, at some point, you're going to hear a little bit of an evening with Eddie Large. Just about 20 minutes or so as a little taster to hear some of the things that you missed out on, because I know lots of you couldn't make it. I know some of you did make it, and it was absolutely wonderful to see you there. But before that, if you want to give us a call, you can do 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number, please, with your suggestions of where we can go in Newcastle or the surrounding areas. We are taking sightings of Jimmy Nail. If you have spotted him in the last 5 years, then let us know where that was, and we'll see if we can get a Jimmy Nail map. And you know the score, guys. You can call in about absolutely anything you want. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. It'll cost you pennies. It's probably free, and we call you back. The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Dear listener, another hour to go now. Would be an excellent time to give us a call if you want to. 0344 499 1000. Don't forget you can watch us on periscope.tv/Ian Lee. Oh, and you know you can download the Talk Radio app. Another hour to go of the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Dear listener, it's the last hour of the show now. Would be an excellent time to give us a call. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome to 0344 499 1000. We are coming from, we'll look for it in a bit, don't look for it now. We are coming from Morpeth, just outside of Newcastle. It has taken, I didn't know Newcastle was so far away. It turns out it's bloody miles away, absolutely bloody miles away. You know the score, you can call in about anything you want. Interestingly, we had someone phoning in saying that they miss it when it was all, they missed the more serious shows. Here's the thing, you're never going to get, I am never going to get the balance right, because we lost so many listeners when I was doing the heavy shows, so I kind of brought it over here, and now people are saying, well, you know, I miss the heavy shows.
People just want it the way they want it, don't
people
they?
People want it the way they want it. And sorry, guys, I can't please all of you. I do feel like I need a couple of weeks off. I want to take a couple of weeks off. That's what I want to do. Take a month. Imagine taking 6 months off. Wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't that be delicious? 6 months. I met someone yesterday when I was doing the voiceover for something else. And there was a young lady who tagged along who was working, doing work experience. And she was, she just left school. And she was going to go to university, but she was going to go in 2 years' time.
What?
She was taking 2 years... out. I can't.
What was she going to do?
I don't know. I've no idea, but I can't think of anything more delicious.
People go to Australia and stuff, don't they?
I would never have gone. When I went to university, I went straight from school to university because firstly, people did not take the year out the way that they did later on.
Things happen, you have a child or something. Or...
Well, I also thought, I've got to go now. I've got to get it done because otherwise, you know, life happens, like you say.
I took the year out because I had to do my A-levels again because I muffed them up and I just barely scraped through. But, for me, the DOS was going to college, because I did a Mickey Mouse degree at what was formerly a polytechnic, but look at me now, guys, dreams can come true. But that, for me, was the DOS, was 3 years of drinking, experimenting with all kinds of, you know, chemical reactions, and doing pretentious little playlets. Beautiful.
Well, part of my course was a year out. And I would say that that was the making of me, but that came 3 years into my course, and that was when I was just probably about right for doing something like that.
Yeah.
And I dropped out of school when I was about 16.
Did you?
And didn't go do anything. I opened up a printing.com franchise when I was 17.
Did you become a dot-com millionaire?
I didn't actually, no. Oh. I did it for a couple of years and didn't really work out, but I met a lot of people through doing that, which has brought me to where I am now with DJing and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
So I'm not sort of regretting any of it. It didn't go quite to plan, but I'm not regretting any
when
of it.
When does it ever, though?
I know, exactly. And I was so young and we're so naive to sort of, I think, go into that, when, you know, being 17, 18. But it took us onto Lionheart Radio, which is a local community radio station, which I met Harry Hardy, which you...
Yes, of course.
Oh, gosh,
friend
Harry.
Of the show.
Yes.
Of,
yes.
And... and DJing, which I love doing now. I've been doing it for about 10 years.
But you also do bits with John.
John, yes, yeah, John Holmes. You know, as I say, I'm a massive talk radio fan. I've been listening since I was actually. I remember this sounds really strange, but I remember driving on the. I think it was the A19, listening to your sort of talk radio coming up at 1 p.m. or whatever it was. Sort of excited. Oh, this is a new radio station. I can't wait. And I think was it John that launched it? I can't remember. Or no, I think did it start in the morning? I only caught John's show anyway.
Paul Ross. Started with Paul Ross.
Yeah. I only caught the John Holmes show. I tuned in at one. I don't know. I must something happened. And then I listened to it. And then they had the big debates, which is at 3 o'clock every day. And they were just amazing. And I just I kind of wondered how to get involved with it. And you know, and every single day it was different. They had the different voices. Some silly. I mean.
Obviously spoofs.
It's a silly sort of 10-minute piece at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's done amazingly, and I just wanted to get involved. So you know, I looked into the sort of emailing people at talk radio as you do, you know, and found the right sources. And so on a weekly basis, I do some daft voices. So hello there, this is Brian here, or, you know, them sort of things. Or
oh yes, hello, yes, it's Simon. I'm calling about the incident with, you know,
them sort of stupid things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's a lot of us that do it. There's about 50 people, and some of them are straight and, you know, straight.
One of them was a knob. Do you remember that guy on Twitter who was a knob?
Was that Jeff or Ross?
I don't know. Some bloke phoned up and he was doing he was trying to prank call me.
Oh, I think I'm no, it was Ross is the genuine.
This guy tried
someone to see badly when he got seen.
Some guy tried to prank call me, and it was just the most unfunny, tedious thing. There's no point in prank calling.
Was he one of the debaters?
And I saw through it and called him out, and he got really angry, and then went nuts on Twitter at me. Oh, you do look at you doing the graveyard shift. Yeah, I'm getting paid to do this. You're a knob.
I didn't know about that.
But yeah,
he was a bit embarrassing.
Mostly,
it was
all
really embarrassing
blokes.
For. I just
and girls actually.
He was an awful, awful, unfunny twat. There we go. He was.
But anyway, I would recommend people. You know, it's on. There's a podcast for the big debate on John Holmes' show. It's pretty. And listen to the rest of the show as well. And
yeah. Oh yes. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you can do. We're going to play the Eddie Large thing in a little bit. We need to have one of our little brainstorms. Maybe we can do this tomorrow, Catherine, over a cup of coffee of guests that we can pursue, because we've got Luke Kane's coming in at some point to be the house band. That'd
Belinda
be cool.
Carlisle.
Belinda Carlisle is happening.
Howard Jones, but that's been pushed back a little bit.
Is that happening?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Well, when's Robbie Vincent coming on?
Well, Robbie Vincent was all ready to come on, and then, of course, there was Westminster, the night that he was...
ISIS!
And he said, perhaps it's best if I hold off for a bit. And then I called him, emailed him about a week after, and he said he was up to his eyes, but he would definitely come on.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll prod him again.
Let's chase him
Who else was there? Oh,
go on.
Herb Alpert.
Oh, yeah, is that happening?
Yeah, but it's about Christmas album. So it won't be till later in the year.
Okay, all right, fine. Oh, that'd be amazing talking
to
him.
Oh, there's some brilliant people coming up.
Okay, well, we need to have a little brainstorm and see if we can get a few more people. A few more ideas, a few more bits and pieces, a few more ideas of who we can get, and we will chase them and round them up and get them on.
Apparently your stylist is behind your ear.
Is it? Hey!
You're in a builder.
Apparently, according to Harry.
Where is
I don't
it?
Actually
there
know.
Is. Hey, well done, Harry.
Hey. It's left
Honestly,
ear, left ear.
Did you ever read Professor Brainstorm? He was always looking for his glasses.
I'll tell
wearing.
You what, I'm so...
I was going to say, if it's in the
hang
crevice
on a second,
of the sofa.
I'm so tired after this drive up today. I'm absolutely... Seriously, 7 bloody hours driving. Driving up was the most stupid idea. I mean, it was a stupid idea. Next time, it is the train.
Especially if you just finished a show at, like,
driving up was a very... very dumb idea.
Clever idea, though, was not trying to do it in a wanna, because that was the original idea.
What do you mean, trying to do it in a wanna?
Coming and going back, because it's an early show on Sunday.
No, that was never the plan.
I mean, I thought...
That was never the plan. No, I wouldn't do that.
It was stupid.
Let's be honest, it was a dumb idea booking the rabbit hole up in Newcastle, because we've sold 30 tickets.
Yeah, but they're going to be hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Also,
it's going to be a good show. It'll be nice to see everyone, but it was
I'm
stupid. Lessons have been learned.
300 is probably too many.
Well, yeah, and Newcastle.
Why didn't you go for the Stand? Is it one of the? Because I know the Stand quite well.
They offered.
Yeah, it's a good location actually.
Yes,
you'd really like it.
Yes, indeed. 03444991000 is the telephone number. Although you appear to have gone shy on the telephones, guys, and. If that's the way you want to go, then that's absolutely fine. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, dear listener. Hello, Paul.
Hello again, yeah. You know you're feeling tired.
Yes, I'm feeling very tired. I've been driving for 7
hours. It might be connected with me talking about your body. You're only up to your belly button, you know.
Oh, now remind me of this, because I kind of switched off a little bit yesterday.
Your body only went up to your belly button.
Yes, yes. So, explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's your physical body.
Yes.
There are ones higher than the body, but the first one is an overlap, you see.
Right.
That's your spiritual body, that's higher.
Right.
There are others as well, which go higher.
Paul, can I speak honestly and openly with you?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
I can speak honestly and openly with you.
Absolutely.
Okie dokie. You're talking nonsense, man.
No, I'm not.
You're talking nonsense.
No.
Have you taken your medication today?
Yeah, I took my medication, yeah.
Are you sure? Because you're sounding a little bit loose.
They changed my medication.
I know they changed it. We talked about your medication yesterday, and I just wonder...
Oh, no, they changed my medication, you see. And it knackered me out as well, this new medication.
Do you have a care worker or a health visitor?
Yeah, so, yeah. I've gone out to the place I usually live at.
Yeah, yeah.
Moved into this place where I am now.
Yes, right.
But
so what do you live in? What, you live in sheltered accommodation?
It's the government brought it in, so
right.
The idea is to get me back to normal life.
Right, but so you live... Do you live in a flat on your own?
It's a flat on my own, yes, but there...
It's like a warden or something?
Yeah, they're sort of like the staff sort of thing, you know.
Okay, okay.
But there are other residents as well, all like in a big house together. Well,
okay.
All ground floor. Well, look, it's all ground floor. You see, it's second floor, third floor.
Okay, so you've seen and you've spoken to, you know, I'm going to say in inverted commas, a responsible adult today.
Yeah. But then you can call them responsible, not
yeah, right. But we know what I mean when I say they're as responsible as we want them to be. But you know, you've seen someone. Someone has seen you today, and you have spoken to somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good. All right then. Well, in that case, tell us more about
the spiritual spirit bring your belly button up to the base of the rib cage.
Yes.
If you go into the middle there and oscillate backwards and forwards there.
Yes.
Yeah. That will synchronize all the
chakras. I don't buy into this chakra nonsense.
Well, it's a word. Region. And that's a different term used. The region.
I have read about chakras. And it's all guff, isn't it?
Well, no, they give energy. You can get energy. They're different types of different functions. I mean, I was just using the term chakra.
Paul, what music do you like listening to?
What music?
Yeah.
You know the chap earlier on playing the guitar?
We had David Babcock playing Blackbird by the Beatles, yeah.
Yeah, that was it, yes. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Yes,
yeah.
That's
brilliant,
isn't it?
That's a great song. So you like the Beatles?
Yes, absolutely. I love the Beatles. Yeah. Love them. Yeah.
They're good. It is the, I'm just saying, on this day in history... 53 years ago was the premiere of the Beatles film A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
And that's something. Yeah. Have you seen that film?
Sleeping Like a Dog, yeah. It was.
Yeah. Have you seen that film?
No.
Ah, you should watch it, man. It's funny. It's a funny film.
Yeah, but...
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, there's sort of things... mind, it brings some thoughts to your mind.
How old are you, Paul? I can normally guess people's ages, but I'm struggling with you.
I'm 56.
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking 54. I should have said it. You sound like you sound like an old soul, though. Do you know what I mean by that?
An old soul?
You sound like your body's 56, but your soul comes across as much older. Does that make sense to you?
No. But you might. I don't know. So.
Yeah, you've got a soul that's been around the block a few times.
It's been around the... Well, it's jumped out the window, hasn't it?
There you go. How did you find yourself living? What was the situation that you ended up living where you're living now?
Well, the chap, he was balmy. He was called a paranoid. They called him a paranoid. His name
is this. Is this Paul that was called that? Are you talking about Paul?
No, Daniel.
Who's Daniel?
Daniel is a chap, and he lives. The Hamilton Community Homes, right?
Right, okay.
And I think he thinks he's Jesus. I think that's what he thinks, yeah. I don't know that. He's never said that, I must say. But I think
he lives in the home. He lives in the same home as you, does he?
Yeah, and he shouts a lot.
Yeah.
Michelle says he's not really doing his shouting.
No. And have you got many...
He raises his voice very loud.
Have you got many friends, Paul?
I suppose. A few. Yeah, people here now have got sort of friendish and And people at Hamilton Community Homes, they're still going to visit.
Paul, listen, I've really enjoyed chatting to you tonight. I'm going to move on.
Let me just tell you about the spirit one.
Well, do you know what, Paul? Maybe not tonight, because I've got to do a bit of business. I've got to go to the ads. I'm late for the ads, and then we're going to play the Eddie Large theme, which you might find quite funny, actually. I did a show with Eddie Large.
Eddie Large? Oh, yeah.
From Little and Large.
Little and Large, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I did a show with him. We're going to play a little bit of it out in a few minutes. You might quite enjoy it.
Oh, by the way, two eggs in a saucepan, you know, and one egg says to the other.
Yes.
If you think they're boiling away. If you think it's bad in here, you wait till they get you out, chop your head off.
Here we go, you see. The old ones are the best. Paul, listen, Paul, listen, I'm going to move on, mate. You have a lovely weekend. It's nice to talk to you. Take it easy and we'll speak next week, hopefully, okay?
Okay.
Take care. Ta-ta.
Ta-ra.
Bye-bye, Paul. I found that quite, what a nice man. What a lovely spirit. I found that quite sad, listening to Paul. But I'm glad. Actually, no, I don't know why I found that sad. I'm really pleased that he's in a safe place, physically in a safe place, because I was a little bit worried, and he sounded even more detached than...
it was different from yesterday.
Than yesterday. But he's in a safe place, and there are people around him, and that's good. And I was just... Do you know what? I had a flash of younger me. Younger me would have gone for the gag there, and would have. But older me felt nothing but empathy and sympathy for that poor troubled soul. Thank you, Paul. We'll speak next week. Right, let's take a quick break.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome. Eddie Large is coming up in about 10 minutes or thence. What a nice man Paul was. It was a very nice man, and a lot of interesting ideas about things and bits and pieces. Let's go to John. Evening, John.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kath. How are you?
Hiya, John.
You going to say hello to Simon?
What about me?
Oh, sorry, Simon. You're right.
I'll let you off.
Thank you, Simon. You've been an excellent host.
It's been great. It's just I'm a massive fan of the show, and just to have, like, to watch the show go on in my sitting room is...
Watch, you know, the magic take place.
It's surreal. And being this side of the periscope.
Yeah. You've fought your mic TV. You've fallen into the screen. Yes, John, what have you got for us?
I just wanted to thank you and Kath. I came on the other night and had a long chat with you about various things, about my illness.
Oh, yeah. You sent me an email, and I'm terrible at replying to emails.
No, it's no problem.
But thank you.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say, because I suspect there's a lot more people out there. As I said in the email, I didn't say it on the call. I ended up with... a slight facial paralysis from all this last year.
Yeah. You've been really ill, haven't you? About a year ago, you've been in hospital and stuff.
Yeah. Don't go over it again. So I was nervous about ringing for a long time because of that.
Yeah.
But what sort of prompted me to do it the other night was obviously Jerry came on again, and I just thought, you know, I've got to get over myself and ring in.
The thing is, because you sent that email, and I couldn't hear it then, and I honestly can't hear anything now. So I don't know if it's...
It's a perception, yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to say...
You're hyper-aware when it's you, aren't you? Of course you are.
But I can't hear anything. You sent me that email, and it took me by surprise, if I'm honest.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, to be honest, it's more of a visual thing. The right side of my face was affected, and all the nerves are damaged and stuff. So if you sort of saw me on, like, Skype or whatever, heaven forbid, then you'd see the sort of droopiness. So,
right, and you're really self-aware of it, are you?
Yeah, in person. I'm not so much with people I know. It's just because obviously they know what it's all about, but it tends to... It'll get worse if I see someone face-to-face that I've never met. Because then I'm starting to try and compensate for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know.
And then it sort of... I think it looks worse than it is, to be honest. But
we all do that. We all do about everything.
And you know what we would see, don't you, John? We'd see a survivor.
I don't know about that.
It's totally what it is. It's totally what it is. And honestly, you can't hear it at all. You can't.
Do you fancy a fight, John? Do you fancy a punch-up?
Go on then, yeah. Go on then.
When was it? Have you ever hit anyone, John? I've never really hit someone. I've never hit someone as if my life depended on it. I do wonder what that feels like. Sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but it's just...
That's all right. I like tangents, you know.
It's just popped in my head what it feels like to hit someone.
Not properly. Only once in sort of self-defence, but I'm not really a fighting type, to be honest.
No, me neither. So. I wouldn't condone it. I wouldn't encourage it.
I have.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
I used to. What was it like? You got 15 seconds.
I used to get bullied terribly by a big boy.
Yeah.
And one day I turned around and whacked him one, and no one ever took the mickey out of me again. But wow. I felt like it was frightening. There was a loss of control.
John, listen, I've got to move on, mate, because we're going to play the Eddie Large thing. But it's nice to speak to you, and thank you for the email, and we'll speak soon.
No, it's CNA, Cash in the Attic. There you go.
Cash in the Attic. That was it. Thank you very much, John. Matt, we haven't got time for you tonight. I'm really, really sorry. We're going to take a quick break, then we'll come back and we'll talk about Eddie Large.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, so we're going to play the Eddie Large thing. Simon, thank you very much for letting us come.
Pleasure.
Give you a Twitter and all the things you want to plug. Get them out now.
UK Silent Disco, or if you're looking for a silent disco, go to headphoneparty.com. That's about it, really.
There we go.
Perfect. I don't need to promote anything.
Perfect, that's fine.
For a good time, call Simon.
That's all we need.
Why not?
Now, listen, about February, I think, something like that, we had Eddie Large on the show from Little and Large, and we hit a rich seam of older entertainers and comedians and stuff. And I thought he was really, really funny when he came on, and he was quite nervous, and I was surprised to hear that he'd had two near-death experiences. He'd had he had a heart transplant, and also a couple of years ago he fell over, and, you know, in the way that older people, he's in his 70s, you know, when they fall over, that's a big deal, you know, and he nearly died twice. And we got on quite well, and I was kind of thinking, and I sent him an email saying, this is a really silly idea, but would you ever want to do an evening with Eddie Large? And I'll put it on, and I'll host it, and I'll, you know, introduce it and do all of that, and you just rock up, and you can have all the money. And he replied, no, I don't fancy it. And then he obviously got talking to his missus, Patsy, who is a powerhouse. And he got back in touch. He said, yeah, I'll do it, but it's got to be in Portishead, this tiny little sort of almost a village that he lives in. And he set these kind of not insurmountable the barriers to make it almost like we wouldn't do it.
But they were narrow parameters.
They were narrow parameters, and I put it on, and I managed to do it, and I booked a hall, and we sold tickets, and about 270 people crammed into this hall in Portishead on Sunday, June the 25th, was it? Something like that. Gosh, all these dates seem so important leading up to it, and now it seems a lifetime ago. And Dredge came along and helped, and Kath came along and helped, and loads of people came, and Tracy and Daz, and all of these people kind of rocked up and helped. And I knew it would be good, right? I knew it would be good, and I knew he'd be good, but I didn't know how good he was going to be. You're going to hear now just a tiny, tiny snippet of it. This is excerpts from An Evening with Eddie Large.
Ah, let's just bring him on. A nice big round of applause for the star of the evening. It's Eddie Large. Come on, Ed.
There you go.
Right. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good.
Do you enjoy good. That?
Yeah, I've just found my life support. Brilliant.
He had a blood transfusion backstage. The drugs and booze have gone, now it's vitamin C. When was the last time you were on stage?
About half an hour
ago. No, not tonight.
Oh, sorry. What a funny question.
It's going to be like this, is it? We're playing by those rules. Okay. No, before tonight, you muppet. When was the last time you got up on stage and did a bit?
With Sid, you mean?
Well, with Sid. When was the last time with Sid and the last time you did it on your own?
Well, I used to do it a lot on my own before I met Patsy.
It's terrible.
With Sid, that's a... It was after the whole panto.
Right.
Because what happened, I don't know if I mentioned this in the first half, after the whole panto, before I was sent to Southmead and all that, Dr. Ryan, did I say this about... He told me I had to give up the job.
Yeah, he said you had to give up. You didn't.
And did I say about phoning Sid? Didn't, did I? No. Well, that was... I forgot that. But what happened, we'd done the panto and I was trolling about all my ailments and I went to see the doctor, explain what had happened, and he said, you have to give the job up. You have to. And it's the most painful call I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Phoning Sid, who I'd worked with for 40 years, knew him as a teenager, we used to go on holiday with all my mates, and I had to say it was all over. So I would say Hull was the last time panto. It probably wasn't, actually. I think it was Nottingham. Yeah, I think it was Nottingham. 2000 and something.
We've kind of got to finish at about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So, I mean, there we go, that one's a bit better. And what that must have been that must have been an incredibly tough phone call to make, to phone up and say, I can't do this anymore.
I was in tears.
Yeah.
It was in the car park of the co-op, but she's not there anymore. Honestly, I'll never forget it. Phoning my car. And, I mean, thank goodness, Sid got his act together. He was doing cruises and one-nighters, and he really, really did well because he's not frightened to work hard. And now he's running a restaurant in Fleetwood, and he's doing really. He phoned me just before I came out.
I was going to say, like, do you still speak to him?
Oh, yeah, nearly every day.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So he said, I can't believe you reached this age. So that's what he said, you know, because it's my birthday today.
Oh, we should mention this, sorry, to enjoy. No, 76 years old today, ladies and gentlemen. 76 years old.
Yeah. He said to me, how long do you want to live? Sid said to me. What? Oh, no.
Let's give him the bumps. Who's going to help?
So anyway, back to our conversation with Sid tonight. He said, I never thought you'd got to this age. Yeah, I would get to this age. I don't know why he thought that. Anyway, he said, how long do you want to live? I said, I want to live long enough to see the end of the bloody roadworks at cab stand. Local joke.
Are we allowed? I've got two things that come to mind. You say it's your birthday today. Yeah. You also revealed a bit of news to me backstage. Yes, is that private or is that?
I've just. My sister's granddaughter went into labour tonight, and she's given birth to a young little baby girl.
Isn't that amazing?
So, same birthday as me.
The circle of life. So it's a big day.
Absolutely.
When are you and Sid going to get back together?
I don't know, really. Oh, he's coming down here in the summer.
Is he?
Yeah. He's coming to stay with us for a few days. Which will be a bit off because we don't speak and we don't get on.
I heard you guys hate each other.
Kenny puts on Facebook the other day, well-known double act, you don't get on, Lil and Lance. I went, we do get on. No, you don't. He said, yes, we do. And he brings this out. This is the thing about showbiz and the British press. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, hello, I'm a reporter from the What's It. Do you still see Sid? I haven't seen him for ages. He lives in Blackpool and I live in Port Azad. Press. I asked Eddie, does he still talk to Sid? He said he hasn't talked to him for years because he lives in Fleetwood and I live in... So it was went from seeing him to talking. That goes in the print. That keeps
becomes
coming back.
True then. It becomes true. Once it's in the paper, it becomes true. Yeah, yeah.
I had a TIA. Oh, Carol, could you explain what that means?
Carol?
I had a mini stroke in Newcastle. And I thought I had the flu. This is the press again. So I phoned the theatre and I said, could you get the doctor to come? I said, I'm sure I'm getting the flu and I want to try and nip it in the bud. So we got to the theatre and he wasn't there, the doctor. In the interval of this is a pantomime, ambulance turns up, phone, seat, strap, what are you doing? We've got the second afternoon. No, come on, doctor's phone, boom. To Freeman's Hospital, which is the heart hospital in Newcastle. I get in and blah, blah, blah. The doctor said to me, what do you think's wrong? I said, I've got flu symptoms. He said, well, that's what I think's wrong. What are you doing here? I said, I don't know. I said, they just brought me here. So the nurse comes in, said, oh, doctor, the press are outside. People have seen him getting in the ambulance and he's come here. What do I tell them? He said, well, he's got flu symptoms. Well, they're not going to have that, are they? So in the Sun, I had a massive stroke. In the Daily Mirror, I had a massive heart attack. And in the Daily Star, I had a brain hemorrhage. Half six in the morning, the bloody phone rings. It's my sister. Hello? Edward? She called me Edward? My cleaner, she had a pub then. My cleaner's just come in, she's got the deli, what's it? And he's said, you know, nah. But then the trouble with it stays in your cuttings, what they call the cuttings. So they're doing an article with you 5 years later about you, and instead of talking to you, they cut through the cuttings. After his massive brain hemorrhage, his fatal heart attack, and his massive stroke, he has made a remarkable recovery. You know? So that's the...
I've got some clips lined up, and there's some really funny stuff, and there's some really silly stuff. The first one, I think, is really special. And again, I know we've got some younger... Is that how old? They've got a young man up there. What's your name, son? Mike?
Murray.
And how old are you, Murray?
54.
Go on, Murray. 10 years old. Is Murray the? I think Murray's the youngest person here.
Oh, Murray, I'm sorry about the swearing in the first
half.
I'm
filthy,
sure,
wasn't it?
I'm sure you don't hear words like that.
Not from well, Murray. Listen, we're gonna play a clip from a show that you won't remember, but was huge. But tell me this: the Singing in the Rain show you did.
Oh, the lead up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me about that.
Where are you going to play it?
We're going to play it on this big screen next to you.
Oh, so I'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
It's like the bloody telly in our bedroom, then.
What? You're just watching Eddie Large pictures on there? It's a bit...
She's laughing, Pat. She bloody hates it. Now, what happened? We were in Blackpool working with Joe Longthorne. Joe was doing all the second half of the show at the Opera House in Blackpool. And we ended the first half with Singing in the Rain. We got drenched. I think that was part of the blooming heart problem, actually. So we were getting drenched twice nightly. Anyway, we'd done 8 concerts in... Clendidno. So I hadn't been home for 9 weeks. So we're finishing. We didn't do a finale. Joe went on and he did the second half. So as soon as we'd finished first half, boom, in the car. So I'm there and I'm thinking, I can't wait to go home. I've not been home for 9 weeks. I'm trying to phone Patsy. There was no mobile phones then. She's gone home with her mum and dad and Ryan. And I can't contact them at all. So I've got a panic there, worrying in case whatever's happened. So we do Singing in the Rain, everything in the rain, and we get drenched and we're like that. And I'm thinking, curtain, drop the bloody curtain. I want to go home. Please drop the curtain. Anyway, they didn't, and
let's have a look.
This is the reason why.
I've got to remember which button to press. I always get this wrong. There we go.
This was why.
Where people come to see the lights and to enjoy good old family entertainment. And the couple I'm after tonight fit that bill exactly. They're appearing here at the Winter Garden with Joe Longthorne, and they finish their act with a wet and windy number, hence the gents Natty Wellies. Thank you, Catherine White.
I'm sorry to rain on your parade, but I have waded a long way to come and say tonight, little and large, this is your life.
Oh, my God.
Well, now, a few years ago, Sid, you made an urgent phone call when Eddie was taken ill. The call was to a pal you may recognize from a little number he sings in duet with Eddie on the golf course.
There's a girl called Jean McKee. She lives four doors from me.
No, this can't be up.
You should have said 39 and 43.
Yes, he wishes to be known as Andrew Lloyd Carson. I am bound to ask if Eddie's illness had anything to do with your singing.
What we used to do, we used to play golf, but the most important thing was, one night we were running a birthday party on the Friday. Eddie was going to be 38 year old, but on the Wednesday night, 35. Sitting all drama said, Frank, Eddie's lying ill, you better see him here. So we got the doctor. Eddie had, the doctor said, indigestion. It turned out it was acute peritonitis. Wasn't a lot of difference, except that you can die in 2 minutes with peritonitis. So we got the doctor down, and we had the party arranged for the Friday, and we had a birthday cake made. And I put an ad in the paper, which he still has, birthday cake for sale, suit man call Eddie, age 38. And it went all around the show, and there was a knock at my door in Blackpool, and there was a fellow standing, he said, the birthday cake, can I buy it? I said, what's your name? He said, Eddie, but I'm 42. I sold the cake. I made a profit of £8. Frank Carson,
news at 10. So
there we go. That's great, isn't it? That is great. I've always wondered with This Is Your Life, do you know?
No.
Really?
Well, what's the point?
Well, I always wondered, but so you had no idea?
No idea. The day Kevin Keegan was on that clip, on that show, sorry, yeah. And I phoned him in the morning
right.
to talk about something. Patsy's on her knees polishing my shoes.
I wonder where that was going. Okay.
I know. Please, Murray's in the audience. And she's cleaning my shoes, and she's saying, don't forget, it's our mum's birthday on Sunday, so make sure you've got a suit to wear. And I'm thinking, what's going on?
Mm.
Yeah, but no suspicion at all.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. It was a complete... You can see me on that clip, yeah. And I turn to Sid and I say, is it Joe? Thinking it was Joe Longthorn.
Yeah.
That's how befuddled we were.
Yeah.
So, no, you don't know.
Any more questions? Hands up. Dredge, you've got to be quicker than that, John. Come on. Time is money. Time is money. Get in the middle, Dredge. He's work experience.
Hi. In all your career, who would you say was the best people that you worked with, like, you know, comedians like yourself?
As to be comedians?
Yeah, like, who was the best people that you worked with?
The best people that you've worked with?
The best
present
comedian.
Company excluded.
The best comedian I ever worked with and the nicest person was a bloke called Norman Collier.
Oh, yeah.
Norman was funnier off than what he was on. He was a joy. He really was, Norman, yeah.
The simplicity of that microphone. Jeez.
Like that.
Norman's here. He's here. But the simplicity of that act, it's just delicious. And it was funny, was
but
it?
He came to our wedding and it was like a sitcom.
Really?
I just can't tell you how funny he was. People, nice people, do you want me to tell you about?
Yeah, go on.
I think so.
Yeah.
Apart from Sid Little, who really is a nice person.
Yeah.
Cliff Richard. Really. We did 6 weeks with him at the Palladium, and typical London press, we got slaughtered. The worst supporting act, and for real, Freddie Barrett Davis was on that. on that palladium and all that, and it really hurt because we were just making our way, and to do the palladium for 6 weeks for us was it was incredible. And he waited for us, Cliff, for us to come in, and he went, "Hi, I'm Cliff Richard." And he said, "Don't worry about the reviews. It's the London press. They don't like me. Blah 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 blah. You're doing a great job." And it was so nice. It just made us feel great. Yeah. It really is.
Oh, fantastic!
Top.
Good for him. Have we got any more questions? Put your hands up. There's right at the back, Drake. So you're going to have to go quickly. His work experience. In fact, he's paying us to be here tonight.
Hi, Eddie. Firstly, thank you very much. You're fantastic. I've got two questions.
Do I know you?
That's allowed. No. Oh. Yeah, you've got to pay me after the show.
I thought we had something going there. Sorry.
Two questions. Who wrote most of your material? And when are you going to write a book about all of your anecdotes?
When is he going to get that mic fixed?
Two questions in case you didn't hear that. Who were the writers? Who were the main writers? And when are you going to write? I know you've written a book. When are you going to write another book?
Yeah, Tully should have brought the book. No, the book was written about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. So that answers the other question.
It's on Amazon, available now, and it's a cracking read.
As regards writing, we didn't have... We had a lot of contributors to the show, so we would have a guy with us all the time who would look over these scripts and take this bit out, put a little bit in. So we didn't have, like, Eric and Ernie had what's he called again? Eddie Braben. They had Eddie to do their stuff. We didn't have anything like that. We just used to do, and we'd do bits of our act if we couldn't think of anything. So we didn't have any definitive writer.
And was it people just sending stuff in?
Yeah, in the main.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you sift through it and pick the bits that you like.
Absolutely.
Dredge, there was a hand right at the back, but you're near the back, so I'd like you to come to the front if that's all right. To this hand here, Dredge. That's it. There we go. Poor fella.
Him again.
Oh, God, it's him again. I didn't see.
Not a question, more a comment. I know Eddie said that he doesn't miss TV, but I have to say TV misses Eddie and Sid.
Did I see a hand right at the back? Yes, there's a hand right at the back. No, John, it's 2 o'clock. You have to go right to the back, I'm afraid. With time is money. Merciless. That's what you got to do to get ahead in show business.
Hi, Eddie. Meet you, man. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Sorry? It sounds like a bloody Jethro joke, this, doesn't it? Have you ever seen a ghost? Penberthy said, "Yes, I have." Have you ever made love to a ghost? Yes, I have. Bloody hell. I thought you said goat. Jethro joke. That's a brilliant question.
It's a great question.
Because if I say I have, and you go, they all go, "Silly old bugger, you should be in the home." No, I've never seen a ghost. We stayed in a place in Torquay once, above a chemist shop, me and Sid. We were appearing down there, and I felt a very freezing cold draft that night, and we just happened to mention it to the people that ran the shop underneath, and they said, "Oh yeah, we had a previous person who murdered his wife in there." So I don't know if they'd come back to make sure he'd done the job or not. I don't know. But that's about. I believe in it all, though. I do. I went to Doris Stokes.
Did you really?
Yeah, when my mum and dad died, I felt so guilty, because you're on the road all the time, and I had this guilt complex about not seeing my mum and dad. So Russell Grant actually got me in touch with Doris Stokes. For those people that don't know Doris Stokes, she was a medium. I'm an extra large. And and she contacted the Voices and all that. Now, whilst I say I'm a believer, I'm also the most cynical person you will ever meet in your life. So we went to see Doris. She lived in Leytonstone, I think, around there. Little modest house. Whereas like that Derek Kakura. He has this mansion in Southport. Doris wasn't like that. She had this tiny little semi-detached. So go and see her. And I'm very, very cynical. And she had the little cake stand, the little doilies, and it was like that. And pot of tea, and her husband get out of the house, go and take the dog for a walk. It was so simplistic, you couldn't believe it. So she goes, "Now then, oh, your mother was glad she went before she went under the knife." And now my mother had gangrene in the leg, and there was talk about her having to have a leg off. And no one knew that. And I'm thinking, bloody hell, if that's a guest, Doris, that's a fantastic guest. Then she started, "Where's Pat? What else did she say?" "About what?"
"The baby."
"The baby that you lost. The baby." She knew all about that. She described our house. We lived in Cadbury Camp Lane then, near John and Jean. Eh? "Why don't you come on and tell them?"
Should I sit on his lap?
No.
No, it was just that she said she saw your mum.
My mum, yeah.
And she was with the little girl that we lost.
Yeah.
And she was looking after her.
That's
and
right.
Nobody knew about it.
No one knew. And she
and
described
that
house.
That was a very sad day.
What that did to me, it was like a confessional, if you like. It made me happy that I'd sort of, I don't know if she, oh, there was one other thing she said. She started laughing and she went, "Oh, it's your father." My father was a Glaswegian, very, 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 very opinionated. He really was. And she started laughing. She said, "No, I can't say that." And I said, "Well, I know what my dad was like, you know, what did he say?" "Oh," she said, "he said you're a lazy bugger." "Just like that other lazy bugger you work with, Sid." And I thought, well, normally you hear mediums and spiritualists and they go, "Oh, your mother says you look wonderful." So I know people are cynical and I am, but she just, it was the comfort I got out of that was just incredible. So I haven't seen a ghost.
Listen, we kind of overrun quite a bit. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the questions. I booked this date. I came up with a date. We've been talking for this for months and months and months. And I said, "Ed, June the 25th, should we book it in for that night?" He went, "Well, you know, yeah, it's my birthday, but we could..." It was his birthday. It was a pure coincidence that this date came up and this date was free. But Eddie is 76 years old today. And I know we did it before, but let's do a full...
After three.
One, ready? Two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eddie. Happy birthday to you.